Turnbull and opposition leader Bill Shorten are heading north to campaign in Townsville in the Liberal-held seat of Herbert. Their visit coincides with the 20th anniversary of the 1996 Black Hawk helicopters crash, which claimed the lives of 18 servicemen. Meanwhile, Victorian Liberal candidate John Soo has quit after it was revealed he owned a Melbourne brothel and didn't tell the party about it. He was running in the safe Labor seat of Call, but resigned after it emerged he owned the Paradise Playmates brothel in Frankston. Forensic teams will today resume their examination of a man's body found in the water near Sydney's Bondi Beach. A member of the public found the body just after 8 a.m. yesterday, around 450 metres east of the beach. Police are now attempting to determine if the body is that of 20-year-old US student Endicott Atkerman, who went missing after jumping from rocks at Bondi last Monday. Queensland police are continuing to investigate how a 21-month-old boy died in Brisbane's north. Police were called to a house at Caboolture in the early hours of yesterday morning after ambulance officers discovered the toddler's body inside the home. Police believe the boy died in suspicious circumstances and are questioning a 35-year-old man whose relationship to the child is unknown. Victoria's new Emergency Services Minister, James Molino, says the CFA needs a fresh start following controversial pay negotiations. Mr Molino sacked the CFA board on Friday night after they refused to sign a deal with the United Firefighters Union. Mr Molino, who replaced former Minister Jane Garrett after she quit rather than support the union's deal, says there's now an agreement that ends the dispute, although there still needs to be a process to allow firefighters to vote on the agreement. Rye Hunt's family say they are heartbroken after his body was found on a Brazilian beach. He'd been missing since May 21. Foreign Affairs Minister Julie Bishop says the Australian government will work with the family to provide whatever support is possible while also working with Brazilian authorities to determine how Mr. Hunt died. US pop singer Christina Grimmie has been shot and killed in Florida. Police say the 2014 finalist on the TV show The Voice was deliberately targeted by the gunman. Reporter Steve Mort in Orlando says detectives are searching for a motive.
Well, we understand that the singer had decided to stay behind after the concert had finished to sign autographs for fans, and that's when the attacker approached her carrying two guns, we understand, and shot her dead.
A solar-powered aircraft with the wingspan of a jumbo jet has landed in New York in its journey around the world. The Swiss-made Solar Impulse 2 took off from the United Arab Emirates in March of last year and will now prepare for a long flight across the Atlantic Ocean. Pilot Andre Borschberg told the BBC the opportunity to fly over New York at night was well worth the wait.
It took 3 years, many attempts for Lady Liberty to let me approach her. And I think she wanted to choose the best nights, and today was a gorgeous night with incredible visibility, very calm.
Also in news, a Perth woman has been charged after leaving her kids home alone while she travelled overseas, and Japan has surpassed Germany as the country with the lowest birth rate in the world. This is Air News. St Kilda captain Nick Riewoldt has signed a one-year contract that will extend his outstanding AFL career into a 17th season. The 33-year-old decided to play on next year after strong form this season, but Riewoldt will miss today's match against Carlton with a knee injury. Geelong beat North Melbourne by 31 points. Adelaide defeated West Coast Eagles 29 points. Fremantle were easy 83-point victors over Brizzy, and the Western Bulldogs scraped by 3 points over Port Adelaide. England have exacted sweet revenge for last year's World Cup rugby embarrassment with an historic 39-28 defeat of the Wallabies. Eddie Jones's touring side scratched and scrapped their way to a gripping victory at Suncorp Stadium in front of 48,735 fans. Australia scored 4 tries to 3, but a 15-8 penalty count and the dead-eye goal-kicking of England 5-8 Owen Farrell, who contributed 24 points, proved the difference. French police have used tear gas to disperse rioting England football fans for a third straight day in the port city of Marseille as the European Championships get underway. TV footage shows fans throwing chairs from restaurant terraces and scuffling on a staircase, including one man being kicked down the stairs by another. In match results, Wales have beaten Slovakia 2-1 and Switzerland defeated Albania 1-0. Also in sport, Melbourne Storm have taken top spot on the NRL ladder with a 46-0 demolition of Sydney Roosters, and the Warriors have smashed the Knights 50-14. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather. Sydney's weather today, partly cloudy, a slight chance of a shower along the coastal fringe. Winds southwesterly 15 to 20 k's, becoming light in the morning. Large and powerful surf conditions in the morning are expected to be hazardous for coastal activities, particularly rock fishing. Sydney, partly cloudy, a top temperature today of 18 degrees. Jimmy, what about at Bondi and down at Bega?
All right, let's go to Bondi first up. 18 degrees at Bondi and no doubt some strong swell there as well. In Bega, beautiful sunny day today with a maximum temperature of 16 degrees.
G'day, Adam McDougall here. Do you want to feel better, have more energy and drop a few kilos but don't know where to start? Then you need the Man Challenge. 10-minute workouts that you can do from home for all fitness levels and simple meal plans that you can follow. Starts June the 27th, so join now at themanchallenge.com.au.
Mum, when I say Miele, what do you think of?
Great appliances.
What about when I say save?
Uh-oh. Are you going to say Miele and save in the same sentence?
No. Save $200 on a Miele W1 washer and $200 on a Miele T1 tumble dryer at Bingley. And save up to $800 if you buy them together. That's two sentences.
You know what you just said?
Save up to $800 on a Miele washer and dryer combination at Bingley.
You said it again.
But it's only while stocks last.
That won't last long.
Save on Miele right now at Bingley.
Offer ends July 31.
She is out of this world.
There it is. Adam Scott. A life changer.
Coughed it up. Malcheski. Snap. And there's your grand final. There's your grand final.
Welcome to the weekend's biggest and best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Let's get into it. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, we will get into it. For the next 3 hours, in fact, not into each other. Well, that might happen.
That could happen, yeah.
The way Ray's been going on, holding back guests, waiting for his own program, is just unbelievable.
Come on, Jimmy.
Anyway, I thought one in all in, I thought.
One team here, Jim.
Yeah, and me, apparently. That's why. Producer Jeremy, apparently, has got himself a trip overseas.
We got a text from him.
Yeah.
He's live at a baseball game in Minnesota or something.
He went to the most obscure states and cities in the United States just to follow the Boston Red Sox. His wife and children are enjoying the trip too.
They're going to the games too, I think.
I think the kids are going on a roster system. Yeah, I don't think Mrs. Jeremy's going anywhere near the... I think she's going shopping.
Spend his vast, copious amounts of money.
There's the payoff. 1353 is the open line number right up until 9 o'clock. Ray and Jimmy, looking forward to your contributions this morning as well. 0419-SMS-BSB. That's 0419-767-272. Of course, you can get us on the tweets as well. At Big Sports WEND. At Big Sports WEND. Dare I say it, Raymond?
Massive.
Spot on. Yep. Massive. I tell you what, massive day at Eagle Farm yesterday.
Mm.
Unbelievable.
Great to see racing back there, wasn't it?
Great track. Yeah. What was there, 22,000 there?
You know, after last weekend, when it was washed out and there was a deluge in Brisbane, as it was right down the east coast.
They put water on the track.
They watered the track on Thursday.
I heard it during the week, Greg Radley talking.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, we're going to have to water it on Thursday.
It's unbelievable.
Nearly fell off my chair. Just incredible. We'll have our Event Cinema quiz, courtesy of Mark, the team out there at Event Cinemas at Parramatta. We'll probably get that first question around 8 o'clock.
So. Normal practice.
hang in there for that one if you can. Nathan Perry, son of Paul. We'll have Nathan on today after the win of Conchita in the two-year-olds race yesterday at Rose Hill, at Randwick, sorry. Working out where I am.
And they also train a winner at Newcastle Grammar School, which gave them 100 for the season. That's the first time Paul Perry's done that since 2005.
Wow.
And on the same day, Darren Weir passed 300 winners for the season, Jim.
Just incredible. Can he track down Team Hawks?
Yeah.
What was John Hawks?
334 is the Commonwealth record. He's got, 7 weeks to achieve that.
Right.
No trainers passed 300 since John Hawks set that record. So it's a phenomenal achievement by Darren Weir. He's on pace. He's definitely on pace.
Well, he won't be bringing any to Sydney to try and achieve it, will he? Having never won here.
Never won here.
Yeah. But apparently he's only had about 7 or 8 runners. Is that right? In Sydney?
Very, very few. Yeah.
Tommy Berry, we'll get Tommy on. His one win in the Derby. Rory Hutchings, 3 wins. We speak to Rory Hutchings a fair bit these days, don't we?
Spoke to him a couple of weeks ago. It's amazing because Rory Hutchings is sailing towards that Sydney Apprentices Premiership, but Kobe Jennings has rode 4 winners last week at Rosehill. We spoke to him last week, Jimmy, and he's backed it up with a double yesterday just to keep Rory on his toes in a downward run towards the Premiership.
Nil all, England up against Russia. We've got live sport. This is the Euro match, and Andy Pascalides will be along to keep us up to date with that as well. We've got the Z&Z Watch quiz. We're going to have a chat with Zorba. I tell you what, it made some headlines last week when he came on and defended very strongly his Manly Seagulls, as we expected him to do, and not surprised by that at all. We'll get his thoughts on that. I think he was quoted in The Australian, The Daily Telegraph and The Sydney Morning Herald after his little chat last week. We're going to have our legend of the game today, and this is great timing, given the fact Rio is just around the corner, but we're having on a 5-time Olympian.
One of the great Australian sportsmen, period, I think, Jim.
5-time Olympian. Flag bearer at the Sydney 2000 Olympics.
Yep.
And then you start looking at his numbers through the NBL, and you would have to say, statistically, it will be very hard
best
to
ever.
Surpass any of his records. I think best ever in the NBL, undoubtedly. 7-time MVP. Of
his
the
name
NBL.
Is?
Andrew Gaze.
We tease people enough. Andrew Gaze.
And guess what? He's got a big challenge on his hands. For the next 3 years, he's going to be the coach of the Sydney Kings. Well, let's change that. For the next 3 years, he's contracted to be the coach of the Sydney Kings. Doesn't always work out that way.
I think it's a great move, Jimmy, because he'll bring, and he's already bringing, star players that come into the Kings just to be with Andrew Gaze.
Brad Newley, I see, had signed during the week. Mm-hmm. So, we'll speak to Andrew about that and, of course, about his career. Trent Lanscale from tab.com.au. We've got the Belmont Stakes, too. We'll have the Belmont Stakes. It's the third round of the Triple Crown. Dean Bulldog Ritchie with all the latest news from Rugby League. Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons. And as I said, Raymond, that'll be 9 o'clock, and that's a very full dance card. Good morning to you, mate.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. So much sport. Last night was a great night to watch the sport, and just watching the cricket at the moment, Australia have lost another wicket. That's 4 for 217. George Bailey, my man George Bailey, is out for 11. Davey Warner smashed a brilliant 109, and Usman Khawaja continuing his great form, set a half century. Australia 4 for 217. I think that was the 41st over, Jim. Jim, you were at the Knights Warriors game yesterday.
Yep.
I was at the races, and look, we know the Knights are in a rebuilding phase. Were they that poor? Were the Warriors that good?
Combination. Yeah, there were some positive signs in the first half for the Newcastle Knights. They, in many ways, were denied a chance to go for a try at the end of that first half. And if they could have jagged a try there, it would have been 22-18 at half time. But second half performance from the Warriors, just incredible. And David Fusatua, 4 tries he scored. 2 of them were just spectacular. But, you know,
they're starting to build the Warriors.
Run-of-the-mill, garden variety, spectacular try in the corner to the winger. David Fusatua scored 2 of them. And Sean Johnson was excellent. Tui Lolohia was good. Simon Mannering was good. Isaac Luke was good. So they are building to something. The less said about the game after that, the better, from my point of view.
But in Roosters Storm, or you on the road when the Eels were playing the Titans.
Yeah,
that was actually quite a good game. I saw most of it. Got home in time to see at least the second half.
Okay.
The Eels are pretty good, but you're obviously referring to your men, the Roosters.
Big looking forward to some big
Storm 46.
Looking forward to some good matches in the National Rugby League today.
Keeper Cronk was brilliant.
No, I saw that game. They're just so professional, so efficient in what they do. And Cameron Munster.
Yeah, he's a gun, isn't he?
He's a star. He's a star. Way off the pace, the Roosters.
Yeah.
Way off the pace. 44 points to nil. That's a good old-fashioned.
46-0.
Sorry, that's a good old-fashioned hiding.
Mm.
That's a good old-fashioned hiding.
I heard Blake Ferguson say he didn't think the score reflected the closeness of the game. I don't know what game he was playing because they didn't really look in the contest, did they? The Storm's defence was outstanding. 18-0 half-time. Couple of chances early in the second half might have got the Roosters back in the contest, but the Storm's defence, their goal line defence, Jim, is just almost impenetrable.
You know what would have got the Roosters back into the contest?
Mm-hmm.
If Blake Ferguson hadn't tripped over himself.
What did he do there?
Picking up that kick and going for the line. That's what would have got him back in the contest.
And how about Cameron Smith? Sideline conversion, did you see it?
Lying on his back.
Yeah, and then got up and smiled.
Bit of emotion from Cameron Smith. You don't
very
see
unusual.
That. Yeah. He was enjoying himself, wasn't he?
And it was good to see, yeah. You mentioned a game today, Seagulls versus Panthers, important for both clubs, particularly Penrith. They've got to try and stay in touch with the top eight. And then the Holiday Monday games, looking forward to these, Jimmy.
Big games.
4 o'clock, the Dragons versus the Bulldogs. Then the big one at 7 o'clock, the Sharks versus the Cowboys. Big test for the Sharks?
Oh, well, the Sharks have passed every test this year. If the Sharks lose, it depends how they lose. If they lose 44 points to nil like the Roosters, then it's back to the drawing board for the Sharks. That I cannot see happen.
That won't happen at Sharks.
No. This is going to be a tight game, a good tussle between two of the best sides in the competition. So I'll tip the Sharks, but I'll tell you what, if the Cowboys won, I wouldn't be surprised at that. Big game for the Dragons and the Bulldogs. You mentioned that. The Dragons can win, and we assume that the Parramatta points come off, which they will. They'll be in fifth position. Fifth position, the Dragons. Their for and against at the moment is minus 99. And they'll be in fifth position. There is a massive gap between four and five.
Yeah, they have to win.
The top four sides in the competition. And it's going back through the early results. The Raiders missed their chance up at Suncorp on Thursday night. 26 points to 18. The Broncos win there. The West Tigers were excellent. Should have won by more.
A couple of those tries were tries of the season stuff, weren't they?
Superb. Yeah. 30 points to 14 against the Rabbitohs side that is struggling.
Mm.
It's official. They are struggling. And the AFL, of course, we've got that massive game today. It's a sellout, Ray. Standing room only.
GWS versus Sydney, the local derby. Big game, that. That's at 4:40 start for that one. St Kilda versus Carlton, early doors. Carlton going for 7 out of 8, Jim. Do you believe that?
Pick me up off the floor, Romas. Seriously. Hashtag rebuild.
But that's a big one, GWS versus Sydney. In a sense, GWS have sort of made a fantastic start to the season. They're looking to consolidate now. I think they'll want to beat Sydney here.
They've lost two on this, right?
Yeah, so they'll want to beat Sydney here. Lost by 25 points early in the season, but the Swans are in tremendous touch. But that's a... I'm back in the GWS there, Jimmy, at home.
Of course you are. They're your team.
And you are backing
Swannies.
Oh, okay,
I'm the Swannies man. England defeat the Wallabies in what was a cracking Test match. I was doing a bit of channel surfing myself last night because it was a horror show on the NRL.
Yeah, the penalty counts was horrific against the Wallabies.
39-28 England. So first blood to Eddie Jones, or Game of Jones, as he's described on the back page of the Sun Herald this morning, which is a pretty good headline. They now lead the series 1-0, and this is tough for the Wallabies. A little bit scratchy, you would say, after their first game since the World Cup. Remember, England have not only played since then in the Six Nations, they've won
Nations. Scratchy, they made some errors, but not handling errors. The first 15 minutes, I don't know if you saw much of it, you might have been watching the NRL, I was watching a fair bit of the Wallabies' early doors. Their handling was brilliant. And they were all over England, led 10-0, two great tries, but then just little mistakes in the ruck, etc. The penalty count at halftime was 9-2, didn't change in the second half, and it just crucified the Wallabies in the end.
Oh, I've only seen a little bit of it, and I've only read some
England
reports this morning, and it said that the experiment in the centres, where you've got two blockbusting centres as opposed to the second 5-8, didn't quite work.
Yeah.
They think that Christian Lealefano will be straight back into the side, or even Matt Tamua, depending on his injury
and
for Foley that
Foley had a rare
test.
Night off with the boot. Which,
did he?
Yeah, which didn't help. And the England goal kicker didn't miss, which didn't help either.
Well, we have got so much to talk about. That's Owen Farrell. Andy Farrell's young bloke.
9 out of 10. He's just amazing.
1353 53 is the open line number. Get us on the SMS, 0419 SMSBSB. That's 0419 767 272. Or, of course, you can get us on the tweets at Big Sports WEND. I am so excited about our talk topic that we're about to release.
And it is?
After the ad. See, I see.
Teaser.
Gotta stay on after the ad break, Raymond. After the ad break.
Teaser.
Let's build it up, hasn't it?
Sony Music gives you the hottest stars on the planet. With the Highwaymen live at Nassau Coliseum.
They were the supergroup. Their members changed country music. The Highwaymen.
I was a highwayman.
The new live DVD and greatest hit CD set. And introducing Maren Morris and her debut album, Hero. And Chase Rice with Ignite the Night. All albums and DVDs available now. These are the hottest stars on the planet.
G'day, Adam McDougall here. Are you over 30 and want to lose some weight but don't have time? Well, you need the Man Challenge. 10-minute workouts and an easy-to-follow meal plan with no gym required. Just give me 10 minutes a day and I'll give you the results you want. Starts June the 27th, so join now at themanchallenge.com.au.
With all the goss on your sport...
and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
And welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray. As I said, Jimmy, was so much sport on last night. I was keeping an eye on the Mercedes Cup tournament in Stuttgart, one of the lead-up tournaments to Wimbledon. Roger Federer knocked out in the semi-final, beaten by Dominic Thiem, who is a rising star.
Yeah.
He could be a Wimbledon knockout chance, Dominic Thiem. He's in tremendous form. Also beat Roger in the Italian Open as well. But during the Stuttgart tournament, Roger went to win number 1,072 career victories on the tour. Second all-time, going past Ivan Lendl.
Can I guess who was first?
Have a crack.
Jay Connors.
Got it. Did you have an idea of a number?
1,125.
Pretty close. 1,256.
1,256.
Mm. Which brings us a little segue into our talk topic.
Okay.
Because you mentioned a person who I think will be forefront of many people's names once they hear your talk topic.
All right. Well, the talk topic is this. front page of the day, Telegraph for the Sport.
You,
yeah, I know. It was good. I like that. Bad boy gets off again. This is Nathan Brown. Now, here's what I think Tony Greig would describe as a bit of a loose cannon. he was very, very lucky to be on the field on Friday night. In fact, probably shouldn't have been. Certainly, if I was involved in the match review committee, he stomped on a Titans player the week before and got off. How? I don't know, but he did. So he was on the field. So did he just go about his business? No, he was involved in pretty much everything, slapping players, pushing players while they're down, and you think, okay, all right, okay. Aggression's one thing.
You'd like him on your side.
Yeah, agree. Yeah. And he plays well, too.
He's a good, tough ball runner.
He's not a big man.
No.
He's not a big
ferocious
man.
Player.
But he plays well. Steve Smith just hit his second six in about four balls, too, by the way. He's 29 not out off 34 balls. He plays really well. He's so aggressive, which is fantastic. He's got the ability of a bit of second phase play. He charges out of the defensive line. But he just does some silly things. He was at it again on Friday night.
Discipline, Jim.
Very, very, very late tackle on Mitchell Moses in the 79th minute. To be honest, I knew it was a bad act. I don't know how they were going to charge him. He was charged with dangerous contact.
Just a late tackle.
Charged with dangerous contact. But he'll get an early plea. He's put in the early plea already. He'll play next week. But he's a bad boy of rugby league.
So our theme is?
Bad boys.
Okay. I'll nominate one.
Go.
Pretty obvious one. Is there any more infamous bad boy than JP McEnroe?
Oh. You cannot be serious.
That's a good impersonation. he was freakish, but in the same time, he was compelling. But his manners were awful. Yeah.
I read a book about that from a guy who used to... Bill Scanlon was an American guy who played on the tour.
Yeah.
He said it was all deliberate.
To put his rivals off?
Absolutely.
No doubt.
It wasn't him losing control. It was him very much being in control and knowing, I'm not going well in this game. I need to put him
change
off
momentum,
his game. Change things up. Yeah. And he'd bung on a little show like that. That many players chased him through locker rooms trying to belt him after games. And I think a couple of times actually got him.
Really?
Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because they knew exactly what he was doing.
But gee, wasn't he great to watch?
He was... He put together, I think, the most winning season ever in 1983.
80-2, was it?
It was something like that. It was an 83-4 season or 83-7 that he put together. He put together the most winning season in history. But you're right, he was a bad boy of tennis. So we're looking for our bad boys. We'll give away... Have we got some Sony Music CDs
heaps
to give away?
Here, Jim, heaps.
All right, we can give those away.
And your nomination is...
It pains me to say it a little bit because he's a good Cootamundra boy. Leslie William Boyd.
Top of my list here, actually. Les Boyd.
Oh, come on.
He's top of my list.
Les was an outstanding
player. Did you read that
player
when you walked past?
No, I didn't steal it from you, Raymond. Okay. He outstanding player. 82-3 was 82 his,
three,
his season
it.
In 1984.
Wow.
JP McEnroe. Mm. But Leslie William Boyd, he toured with the first Australian schoolboys side that was coached by Roy Masters that toured in 1973. They had Ian Schubert in that side. They had a gun side. Les was in that side. He was a 16-year-old from Ningen, I think, at that time, but Cootamundra. And throughout the course of his career, played for Australia, New South Wales, famously.
He was an intimidating figure. I remember one test match on a kangaroo tour. I think it was a 78 tour. Would that be right, Jim, that he made the team?
He made 78 and 82.
And Rex Mossop was calling, only a kid, watching it late at night, and Rex's commentary was, I think Les Boyd burst through the middle of the ruck, scored under the post. like a runaway train. They can't stop Les Boyd. And you couldn't stop him in full flight. He was huge legs and
a massive
powerful
tree
runner.
Trunk of a man, yeah. And the most gentle bloke off the field.
White line fever, Jim.
Lovely, gentle fellow. And yet...
White line fever.
White line fever. And I'll tell you what. So he was suspended for 12 months.
Is that the Daryl Broman?
Correct. Yeah. State of Origin game. Mm. Probably cost Daryl Broman an Australian jersey.
Mm.
So he got 12 months of that. He was back for about 4 or 5
Smashed
weeks.
His jaw, didn't he?
Broke yeah,
his jaw.
Back for 4 or 5 weeks, and he was done for 15 months.
That's right.
For eye gouging.
That's right.
In the end, he went over to England and forged a very successful career over there in England. But Leslie William Boyd, you know, there's a great story about Leslie. You know, the sides used to run out. Mm-hmm. So you'd run down to the left-hand side or the right-hand side, and then you'd go to the centre of the field, and the captains would toss the coin. And they might, you might have to change sides. You know, you run, you know, oh, we're going to run the other way. Okay, we'll run the other way. They did it one day against Cronulla, the Western Suburbs Magpies.
Mm-hmm.
Before they'd kicked off, Les had belted three blokes.
Just crossing over.
Mind you, the Cronulla side had the Sorensen brothers and Stevie Neen and all these sort of guys that didn't mind a bit of carry on themselves. But jeez, bad boys of rugby league, you can nominate Leslie William Boyd, as much as it pains me to do it, because he's a great man. SMS flying into already, Raymond, 0419 SMS BSB. We might give away some Sony Music CDs to the best
great ones,
SMS. Mm. Yeah, 0419 767 272. Make sure that's in your phone, so you don't have to put that number in every time. BSB Weekend or BSB. Mike Tyson, biggest bad boy, biting Holyfield's ear and going to jail. Cheers.
Have you ever more bizarre in a sporting contest than that? That was one of the most bizarre incidents I've can ever recall.
Not once.
He did it twice.
Yeah.
Unfathomable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. And it's Don from Carlton. Jimmy, it's no surprise to Dragon fans that a win tomorrow would put us into fifth place. We have a deliberate strategy of boring our opposition to death. It's working. Only problem is I fall asleep before full time.
Don from Carlton. Well, the good thing is, Don, that's a 4 o'clock kickoff tomorrow, so hopefully you can make it through to full time. But, yeah, they're not the most exciting team in the competition, are they? But they could be the fifth team in the competition. Just incredible. Winter is finally here. Netball Premiership favourites, the New South Wales Swifts, were struck down by Saturday night fever when the girls from the West came to town late yesterday. Mm. That's Ron from Moree, yeah.
Wait, Tenno, I watched the end of that. Again, so exciting. Netball 58-57, the Swifts went down.
I tell you what, if there's one sport that can put on a compelling finish, it is netball, isn't it? They do it very, very well. And of course, great excitement too around what they're doing next year with the netball tournament.
Yeah.
So the five sides from Australia become eight. They divorce themselves from the ANZ Championship and the New Zealand sides. And as a result of that, they play the series just for Australia. It's broadcast on free-to-air television.
Fantastic stuff, yeah.
That's on Channel 9. Yeah. That's going to grow the game.
Mitchell Marsh is out. Jim, I think we were I just missed the score there. Mitch Marsh out for 10, 5 down now. I think it was 2-10. So about the 43rd over.
So Steve Smith still going along pretty nicely in that one. We'll get an update there. Yeah, 240 for 5 in the 46th over. So based on what we've seen with the pitches and the way they've been playing in the first couple of games, and we don't know what the pitch is like at Warner Park in St Kitts, but if it's anything like the previous ones, then this is a very good score.
Exactly, yeah. Jim, I know you've got a lot of pull in this station, so is there any chance next weekend we can have one of these TVs with Euro 2016 on?
Wouldn't have thought so, Ray.
Well, right now...
It's outside.
I know, but we can't see it from here.
I'm relying on
the score here on the Euro 2016 website. England 0, Russia 0 in the 72nd minute, I think it is, Jimmy. So still 0-0 there, England v Russia.
I think they were about fourth in the market too, weren't they, England? I think France were favoured as the home side.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Pascalidi's pretty sure he likes Spain to win it overall. Yeah. Oh, no, sorry, did he watch it? Anyway, we'll clear that up.
And a big win earlier today by the Welsh side. Wales 2, Slovakia 1. Big win by Wales. I think Gareth Bale scored for the Welsh team as well there, Jimmy. So they won their opener 2-1.
Yeah. This one sent it into our little mate, Malcolm Johnson. It's not from Mal, but it just says, I wonder how many Mal texts you'll get.
Bad boy.
Bad boy. How many suspensions are
there? All-time world record, 56.
But he says he was
Kane's 52 of them.
Victim of circumstance. Well, the circumstances was you did the wrong thing, Mel.
He was trying too hard.
That was the circumstance. 1353 is the open line number. We've got news coming up there, and then after the news, we'll take your calls on that number, 1353 53, and we'll have our race replays.
Turnbull and opposition leader Bill Shorten are heading north to campaign in Townsville in the Liberal-held seat of Herbert. Their visit coincides with the 20th anniversary of the 1996 Black Hawk helicopters crash, which claimed the lives of 18 servicemen. Meanwhile, Victorian Liberal candidate John Tsu has quit after it was revealed he owned a Melbourne brothel and didn't tell the party about it. He was running in the safe Labor seat of Call, but resigned after it emerged he owned the Paradise Playmates brothel in Frankston. Forensic teams will today resume their examination of a man's body found in the water near Sydney's Bondi Beach. A member of the public found the body just after 8 a.m. yesterday, around 450 metres east of the beach. Police are now attempting to determine if the body is that of 20-year-old US student Endicott Askerman, who went missing after jumping from rocks at Bondi last Monday. Queensland police are continuing to investigate how a 21-month-old boy died in Brisbane's north. Police were called to a house at Caboolture in the early hours of yesterday morning after ambulance officers discovered the toddler's body inside the home. Police believe the boy died in suspicious circumstances and are questioning a 35-year-old man whose relationship to the child is unknown. Victoria's new Emergency Services Minister, James Molino, says the CFA needs a fresh start following controversial pay negotiations. Mr Molino sacked the CFA board on Friday night after they refused to sign a deal with the United Firefighters Union. Mr Molino, who replaced former Minister Jane Garrett after she quit rather than support the union's deal, says there's now an agreement that ends the dispute, although there still needs to be a process to allow firefighters to vote on the agreement. Rye Hunt's family say they are heartbroken after his body was found on a Brazilian beach. He'd been missing since May 21. Foreign Affairs Minister Julie Bishop says the Australian government will work with the family to provide whatever support is possible while also working with Brazilian authorities to determine how Mr. Hunt died. US pop singer Christina Grimmie has been shot and killed in Florida. Police say the 2014 finalist on the TV show The Voice was deliberately targeted by the gunman. Reporter Steve Mort in Orlando says detectives are searching for a motive.
Well, we understand that the singer had decided to stay behind after the concert had finished to sign autographs for fans, and that's when the attacker approached her carrying two guns, we understand, and shot her dead.
A solar-powered aircraft with the wingspan of a jumbo jet has landed in New York in its journey around the world. The Swiss-made Solar Impulse 2 took off from the United Arab Emirates in March of last year and will now prepare for a long flight across the Atlantic Ocean. Pilot Andre Borschberg told the BBC the opportunity to fly over New York at night was well worth the wait.
It took 3 years, many attempts for Lady Liberty to let me approach her. And I think she wanted to choose the best nights, and today was a gorgeous night with incredible visibility, very calm.
Also in news, a Perth woman has been charged after leaving her kids home alone while she travelled overseas, and Japan has surpassed Germany as the country with the lowest birth rate in the world. This is Air News. St Kilda captain Nick Riewoldt has signed a one-year contract that will extend his outstanding AFL career into a 17th season. The 33-year-old decided to play on next year after strong form this season, but Riewoldt will miss today's match against Carlton with a knee injury. Geelong beat North Melbourne by 31 points. Adelaide defeated West Coast Eagles 29 points. Fremantle were easy 83-point victors over Brizzy, and the Western Bulldogs scraped by 3 points over Port Adelaide. England have exacted sweet revenge for last year's World Cup rugby embarrassment with an historic 39-28 defeat of the Wallabies. Eddie Jones's touring side scratched and scrapped their way to a gripping victory at Suncorp Stadium in front of 48,735 fans. Australia scored 4 tries to 3, but a 15-8 penalty count and the dead-eye goal-kicking of England 5-8 Owen Farrell, who contributed 24 points, proved the difference. French police have used tear gas to disperse rioting England football fans for a third straight day in the port city of Marseille as the European Championships get underway. TV footage shows fans throwing chairs from restaurant terraces and scuffling on a staircase, including one man being kicked down the stairs by another. In match results, Wales have beaten Slovakia 2-1 and Switzerland defeated Albania 1-0. Also in sport, Melbourne Storm have taken top spot on the NRL ladder with a 46-0 demolition of Sydney Roosters, and the Warriors have smashed the Knights 50-14. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Weather for the Sydney area today, partly cloudy, a 20% chance of showers along the coastal fringe, near zero chance elsewhere. Winds southwesterly 15 to 20 kilometres an hour, becoming light in the morning. Large and powerful surf conditions, so be careful if you're thinking of rock fishing, swimming and or surfing. A maximum in Sydney of 18 degrees and partly cloudy. Now, what about at Warranora, Raymond? And take us out to Walker.
Yeah, Warranora, partly cloudy, Jim, and 18 degrees. Out at Walker, currently it's only 2.9 degrees.
You're kidding.
Pretty cool. Heading for a top temperature of just 14 degrees. Partly cloudy out at Walker today.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Quick update before we get to our race replays. Euro 2016, England 1-0. In the 80th minute, that goal coming in the 73rd minute. It was a free kick to Eric Dyer. So 1-0 England lead, 10 minutes of normal time remaining in that match.
Love to have one of these TV screens showing the Euro 2016, Jim.
Oh, you can't have everything, Raymond. You can't have everything. Why can't we? There's five,
the cricket's on.
There's seven television screens in this.
Yeah, it's, the cricket's on. And yeah. Smith 37 now, 42, Australia 5 for 253 in the 47th. You're right, Jimmy, given those the first couple of games in the series so far, could be a decent score, 280 plus.
Yeah, let's hope so. Matt Wade scratching around for runs again. Why Peter Neville isn't over there in this side is ridiculous.
Yeah, good point. Hey, Jimmy, Randwick races yesterday and Conchita up against Star Cross. These two horses both trialled brilliantly at Gosford late last month and came to town yesterday, ran right up to the trial efforts. Terrific battle. Conchita gets home narrowly.
Around the turn, Star Cross on the inside of Conchita. Two pretty impressive trial winners battling it out. It's Star Cross, the inside of Conchita. Clear from squared, Rapper's Choice, and then came Gibraltar Girl. Conchita the outside, really testing Star Cross. There's nothing between these 2 2-year-olds. Star Cross, the inside of Conchita. Head and head they go. It's Conchita just in front of Star Cross, who won't sit down. Conchita just in front, and Conchita wears down Star Cross. In for a dig has made up many lengths to run third. Sweet Chestnut closed off on the fence.
A second start there for Conchita for Paul Perry. Thomas Huey, the saddle was on properly this time. It didn't slip, unlike at Wyong previously in the lead-up to the Magic Million. So the disappointment of that can be put aside. Now, what are they going to do with Conchita? Are they going to tip her out?
Yeah, I think I've used it a couple of times in recent weeks. This horse, this winner, is probably too good for to be racing this time of year. There's not many options for her, but I can see her being a live chance in the good filly races in the spring, Jim.
Okay, all right. Look forward to that.
Jim, yesterday, a rare event in Sydney racing, a 3,200-metre race. I love watching them. There's only two of them in Sydney every year. The other one's the Sydney Cup, but it was great to watch.
Is that right? Yeah. There's two on the calendar.
That's correct, in Sydney, yeah. I think there's not that many nationwide either. There's a race at Wagga Wagga, which is over 3,800, and there's a race at Sandown at 4,000 metres, and there's a couple of the cups over 2 miles as well, but the days of a plethora of two-mile races are long gone, Jimmy.
No wonder the international raiders have so much success around Melbourne Cup time.
Absolutely. But they're always great to watch. Amazingly, in the Stayers' Cup, Opinion was given 62 kilos. The rest of the field had 54. Opinion been out of form for a while. We all thought, oh, he's got too much weight. I know everything's easy in hindsight, but he was so well weighted, given his best form. He showed a glimpse of it yesterday, and he won the Stayers' Cup with ridiculous ease.
Coming around the turn, Ansa Topaz is full bore into the straight. Out by 2 lengths on Tunes, he's dreaming, rush past it. Then Murphy's Delight, and Opinion goes back towards the inside. So Topaz in front, but here they come. Opinion, he's dreaming, Murphy's Delight. Opinion giving away 8 kilos to all rivals. I don't think it matters. He's drawn clear. They're all flat out chasing. Murphy's Delight trying to grab second. Opinion being eased right down by Rory Hutchings. Big day for Rory. Riding treble takes out the Stayers' Cup. Opinion by a length and a half, Murphy's Delight. So Topaz third, then he's dreaming.
Riding treble it was for Rory Hutchings. We're going to speak to Rory. He leads the Apprentices Premiership. We'll speak to him a little bit later on in the program as well. But that was the big thing, the 8 kilo difference there. But Ray, if it was a true handicap event, you're saying that would have been very, very different.
Well, if it was a true handicap, on the ratings, he would have had to give the next highest rated horse, a horse called Tremec, 9 kilos, and the lowest rated horse, a horse called Victorious, you would have had to give him 28 kilos. So, look, that's in a perfect world. Of course, there's minimum, maximum top weights and those sort of things. But really, he was just too good, Jim. It was a lovely ride, and it was quite a soft win. Eased right down in the end.
Mm.
June Stakes, Jimmy, I have missed this mare every time, and she's just kept winning Danish Twist. She's in the form of her life. It all started with the Provincial Championships final at Randwick, continued with the Ladies' Day Cup at the Hawkesbury Standalone. She was even better in the Dark Jewel Classic at the Scone Standalone. And heaven forbid yesterday, Jim, in the June Stakes coming back in trip, she was outstanding.
Oxford Pod and Decision Time, the leaders. Kuro and Fine Miss closer to the fence. Then came Harara. Further back to Jungle Edge, Le Cordon Bleu, Mount Nebo, Danish Twist, and Miss Tenpins coming down the outside. Oxford Poet's kicked at the 250. Oxford Poet a couple in front. Mount Nebo's going up the fence. Down the outside is Danish Twist with a good run. Danish Twist is overpowering Oxford Poet. Then Mount Nebo, and wouldn't it be nice, but Danish Twist wins again. Danish Twist by 2 lengths to Mount Nebo. Oxford Poet third. Wouldn't it be nice?
Four straight win there for Danish Twist. Chrissy Lees and Kobe Jennings a winning double, second of the winning double, back to back there too. $6. And Danish Twist, you think now the final Group One of the season, the Tastiara?
Well, what's that old cliche about mares in form, Jim?
They keep them running.
Keep running and keep
winning. That's why I keep saying that. I won't say that.
Keep going. Yeah, no. Morning breakfast show, Jim.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, and why not, Jim? The final Group 1 of the season is the Tastiara in 2 weeks. She gets back to 1,400, which is probably her preferred distance range, which makes that win yesterday
even better,
more outstanding. Jimmy, racing finally returned to Eagle Farm after about 2 years.
Finally. Well, it was in a delay
week. Four Group 1s yesterday, massive day of racing. The first of the Group 1s was a J.J. Atkins. The winner, Sacred Elixir, Jim, we'll be hearing a lot more about him. This is a really good two-year-old.
At the 450, and Dreams of Plenty is the leader. From on the outside, Heart Skip to Beat is the widest. Charlie River third, followed by Oink and Vithiliev. Next on the outside is Sacred Elixir. He's finishing strongly. And Suchet, the next one. Dreams of Plenty, Charlie River. Down the outside is Sacred Elixir. Charlie River narrowly. On the outside, Sacred Elixir. Sacred Elixir has raced up and taken the lead from Charlie River. Sacred Elixir, the Kiwis in front. And Sacred Elixir spearing away with the Atkins. It's all Sacred Elixir. And Sacred Elixir bolts home by 4 lengths. Second, Charlie River. Third, Heart Skip to Beat. Four, Sushi.
5.50 for Sacred Elixir. Tony Pike and Zach Purton overriding here and picks up that win in the JJ Atkins, the Group 1 there. I know the Duffers absolutely declared this horse a superstar in the making.
I was talking to him on Friday. He was so confident, this horse, when the JJ Atkins said, believe me, this is a really good two-year-old. That was outstanding. Jimmy dominated that field. And look, I think anything's within his grasp in the spring. Obviously, races like the Golden Rose and the Caulfield Guineas have come into play now.
Mm.
Jimmy, the Queensland Derby, really happy to see Brian Guy train his first Group 1 winner since he won the George Ryder Stakes with Rivada way back in 1996.
Wow.
Horse called Eagle Way. Unfortunately, he's going to lose Eagle Way now. It's going to go to Hong Kong. Owner John Moore will take over the training of it. But that man, Tommy Berry, a gun ride, and Eagle Way wins the Derby.
Etymology is first for home in the Derby. Admiral Jello on the outside. Eagle Way, Rod Rico, and here's I'm Bellucci down the outside, finishing strongly. Eagle Way and I'm Bellucci with Rod Rico coming through. Eagle Way narrowly from Rod Rico, I'm Bellucci. Eagle Way, Rod Rico from I'm Bellucci. Eagle Way's in front. Rod Rico the inside. Eagle Way's in front. Rod Rico won't get Eagle Way. And Eagle Way, Tommy Berry wins the Derby. Eagle Way by 2 lengths to Rod Rico. Third, I'm Bellucci. Fourth in Howard Be Thy Name, followed by
Australia 5 for 273 now. And Matt Wade hitting him, smashing him everywhere.
Our panel operator Hamish thinks he's got an earpiece in listening to the show, and he's heard your criticism of him, and he's just gone berserk. Matt Wade,
he's 24 off 13, 4-2-4-1. This over. Well batted, Matt. So Eagle Way for Tommy Berry. We're going to speak to Tommy Berry a little bit later. That's incredible with Brian Guy. And he's making it a family affair with the training as well, too, which
son,
is
Daniel,
good kick start.
Great one of the nice guys. He trained at Rose Hill for many years. His late father, Max, also trained there. Went up to Queensland. Oh, I can't remember when he went to Queensland. Probably 2000, I reckon. And obviously he doesn't get the same quality of horse he got when he was at Rose Hill, but still trains many, many winners.
Isn't it interesting, John Moore's quote too, about how he doesn't get nervous when he's the trainer, but he was a bundle of nerves when he was the owner. And of course had the win there and is going to take it up to Hong Kong.
Fair enough.
And they'll sell it well, won't they? Or are they going to hang on to it?
No, he'll train it up there and he'll get it ready for race up the Hong Kong Derby now.
Okay.
Absolutely. The Stradbroke, Jimmy. Terrific.
How often... Does he own the full horse? How often do you get a trainer with full ownership of a horse?
John Moore buys a lot of horses in Australia, often leaves them with Team Hawks.
Yeah.
Gary trains some of them, etc.
Right.
If he thinks they're good enough and suitable for Hong Kong, he'll take them up there if like they're of enough quality to potentially win Group 1. So,
and he'll have full ownership?
Yes.
Yeah,
and,
right.
A horse like Not Listening to Me, for example, was with Hawks' team for a while, and then John Moore took it back to Hong Kong and did really well with it. The Stradbroke, Jimmy, this was a fantastic contest between Under the Louvre and Blackheart Bart. They came right away from the rest of their rivals. Under the Louvre, and Dwayne Dunn gets the nod.
Homeward bound here. We've got Hooked and Charmed Harmony. Here's Counter Attack on the outside. Also Sacred Star, Blackheart Bart takedown. The widest, the Virginian, also Under the Louvre down the outside. Counter Attack, the leader. Blackheart Bart finishing strongly with Under the Louvre on the outside. Under the Louvre, Blackheart Bart from the Virginian. Under the Louvre and Blackheart Bart. Blackheart Bart under the Louvre. Under the Louvre, Blackheart Bart. Under the Louvre, Blackheart Bart. They hit the line and the Stradbroke. And Under the Louvre, I think's won. Under the Louvre just from Blackheart. Blackheart Bart, third will be the Virginian, not sure for Sacred
Great
Star.
Great dogfight there in the straight and reverses the Goodwood result.
Yeah.
And the quote was that, well, if Under the Louvre had won the Goodwood, they probably wouldn't have won the Stratty.
Yeah, well, that 2 kilo difference was certainly made Under the Louvre an advantage. Big day for Tony Pike, wasn't it? Jimmy came across with a couple of runners. He wins a 2-year-old Group 1 with Sacred Elixir. Then he backs up in the Queensland Oaks, and this filly, Provocative, Ambience has now run placings in 3 Oaks this season, the Victoria Oaks, ADC Australian Oaks, and now the Queensland Oaks, so she's a quality filly. Provocative, lightly raced, she was far too good.
At the 400 metres mark, and Falkenberg, the leader from Ambience down the outside, still there, Provocative. Provocative in the centre, Falkenberg, and down the outside, Ambience. Provocative has taken the lead. Ambience on the outside, Provocative from Ambience and Falkenberg. Provocative's in front with 100 metres left to go. She's kicked clear, she's 2 lengths in front, Provocative, and it's the Kiwis again, Provocative. Provocative has won the Oaks by 3 lengths. Photo second, Falkenberg the inside, or Ambience, not too sure. Fourth in, Sebring.
All right, there you go, Provocative. Now, you're saying that she will probably go to the Caulfield Cup. That'll be the grand final in the spring campaign. So Tarzino and Tavago are $15 favourites.
Yep, Queensland Oaks has thrown a lot of Caulfield Cup winners over the years. Arctic Scent through to Ethereal, etc.
Ethereal?
She was really good yesterday, Provocative.
Well, she is a $26 chance with a host of others, including... Lucia Valentina and Preferment in the Caulfield Cup.
And Jim, can I just make mention of Flemington? Yes, a horse called General Truce won the sprint, but the significance of that was that Tony Vassell, the trainer of General Truce, was making his comeback after an absence of, I think it's been close on 2 years. He suffered depression, left the game. This is a man who trained some great horses, including Elvstrom and Harada Sun. And by coincidence, their half-brother made his debut yesterday in a 2-year-old race for another trainer, finished unplaced. But he's back in the game, which is great to see. He used to train Under the Louvre, actually, Jimmy.
So, yeah, right.
But look, just to get a winner first day back, great Philip. One of the nice guys in racing. It's good to see him back healthy and back doing what he does best, training winners.
Fantastic. Yeah, do appreciate it. We see stories like that often, and they should be celebrated. So well done, Tony, getting back in the game. No more race replays, that's it?
You happy with that, Jim?
Just the 7 this morning, was there? Right?
Well, is that a world record? It's going to be a management meeting after this show, ladies and gentlemen. I think
I'm going to nominate you as a bad boy of radio. Okay. Keep putting on race replays. All right, we'll take a break here on the Mixed Watch Breakfast Weekend, and after the break, we'll have a chat with, not Paul Perry, we're going to speak to Nathan.
G'day, Adam McDougall here. What if I told you you could feel better, have more energy, and lose those extra kilos in just 10 minutes a day? Well, you can with the Man Challenge. The Man Challenge has helped thousands of blokes do just that. Starts June the 27th, so join now at themanchallenge.com.au.
There's a smartphone built with more.
Feel the beat ringing now.
More news, more talk, more live sport. More of the things you love. A smartphone with a digital radio. The new LG Stylus DAB+. The first ever digital radio smartphone. With a digital radio feature, you'll get less battery drain and be able to listen to all your favorite stations and up to 30 extra ones with no streaming costs. Get more. The LG Stylus DAB+ smartphone with digital radio. Available from your Optus or Virgin Mobile store. Free the things you love.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And welcome back to the show. There's 50 overs bowled. Australia 6 for 288. Steve Smith gets a half century. I think he gets out off the last ball. 288, Jim, you were saying earlier, that could anything over probably 250 is going to be a pretty competitive score on the wickets over there.
And there's the challenge for the Australian side and their bowlers, especially their slower bowlers. So you've got Zampa there, excuse me. And just looking at the side that they've picked.
Steve Smith, not out 52, Jim, off 49 balls.
The side that they've picked, they've got Faulkner in, Stark, Hazelwood. Now, they're going to have to get some overs out of Mitch Marsh.
And probably Smith as well to bowl some spin with Zampa.
Or maybe not. So maybe it's not going to turn as much as we anticipate. So there you go. The four-prong pace attack for Australia and just the one spinner in Adam Zampa and Nathan Lyon getting a rest from this game.
So Khawaja got a 50, 59, Smith 52 and Warner Bryant 109.
From 120 balls, pretty slow for David's standards.
Good batting still to get Australia up to a good start. Speaking of centuries, the Paul Perry stable did that yesterday, Jim, with Conchita.
Nice.
Conchita winning the two-year-old race. Very promising filly. Then they won a race later in the day on the home track at Newcastle with Grammar School. Been the first time, I think I'm right, since Paul was trained 100-plus winners since 2004 and 5. But we'll ask, we'll go straight to the source. His son, Nathan Perry, the stable rep, has been good enough to join us bright and early. Nathan, good morning. Congratulations on bringing up the 100, and am I right? Is it the first time your father's got that figure since 2005?
Yeah, it sounds right, Ray. Yeah, I've always got between 50 and 100 since, but yeah, that was a terrific achievement by the stable yesterday.
What do you put it down to, Nathan? Have you got bigger numbers this time around? Just better performed horses? You're doing a better job? Remember, your dad's probably listening.
Pay rise, Nathan. Pay rise now.
Yeah. No, look, wonderful staff, but better placement, I think, just with the horses we've got. You know, probably lack the Group 1 horses and things like that, but and the way the benchmark is, you know, you just got to work out where you're placing your horses better and mainly for your clients too. You know, it's all right if you've got city horses, and of course you go to the city, but you got to place them where they can win and get the owner some return too.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually, Nathan, because we see your brother Shannon on Sky Racing quite often at places like Corindai and Tamworth and up at Taree and far north coast, and it doesn't matter as long as the horses are winning, isn't it? Because the bush prize money is pretty good these days.
Yeah, it is, and of course, as we all know, it's going to get better. And I've never seen an unhappy owner who's winning.
Yeah, good point. Good race, too, yesterday. A bit of a war down the straight with some good trial form from both horses. So it would have been very pleasing to see her nudge in front.
Yeah, it was. She definitely come back a lot better. She had a quiet trial, the first trial, and then going into Gosford really switched her on. And she come on since that. So we'll going in yesterday, very confident. And but it was good. As you said, it was a battle, and it was good to see her knuckle down and get the better of him. And she'll improve off that. She's a very good doing filly. She's not very big, but that's one of her best traits. She's such a good eater.
Well, where to now, Nathan? Because it's almost like she's too good for this time of year now, and I think you've got a potential stakes filly there in the spring. Do you keep her going for another run or two, or do you pull up stumps now and just put her eggs in one basket head towards the spring?
Well, I haven't spoken to Dad about it, but I think he'd want to give her one more. Mm-hmm. We just wanted to get her back and make sure everything was right, and yesterday was certainly the right sign.
She was out of the Gold Coast event because of a vet check, so she got scratched from that and spelled. But I think it was, I'm right in saying, Nathan, it was very hard to find out what was wrong with her, and in fact, she's come back better than ever.
Oh, for sure. We had some of the best vets go over her. Couldn't find a thing, so we were scratching our head a bit.
Mm.
And we just let Mother Nature take its course, really, and gave her a nice long spell, and she's come back perfect.
Mm.
Well, she's pretty smart, isn't she, Nathan? Because her debut win was excellent, and to come back yesterday, Star Crossed had won a trial by 15 lengths the same day that Conchita won her trial at Gosford. So, and she was impressive. Those two were the talk of the town, and but the filly was just too good for the boys yesterday, and she wore down Star Cross. So there's a lot of upside with her.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, and she's of course first up, and she'll pull up well from this. As I say, she's a terrific doing filly, and I'm sure we'll give her one more, and hopefully she can go on with that, and then we can worry about the future.
Nathan, did you strap her the day at Wyong for the Magic Millions? Is it? What's going on there? The saddle slipped, didn't it? I think Thomas took the blame.
Saddle slipped straight back, and it's just one of them things in racing that happens.
Nathan, the other runner yesterday, wouldn't it be nice? He almost pulled off a successful defence of the June Stakes. Terrific run, though, and he was third up. And talking to your father yesterday, Paul, he thought he might have just needed that run, and he's heading towards, I guess, the Civic Stakes now. And with these wet tracks around, there's another good race in him.
Yeah, that's it. We gave him a long spell to target the winner.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's taken a little bit older, it's taken him a little while to get going again. But in his track work in between runs, he's definitely come along, and we expected him to run a nice race yesterday. I think upside from here on in for him.
Yeah, terrific year. Look, Nathan, congratulations on the season that the stable's had. Bring up the hundreds, no easy feat in a competitive New South Wales racing environment. So congratulations, and thanks so much for joining us bright and early on a Sunday morning, Nathan.
Thanks, Ray. Can I just say thanks to all my staff at home, our clients, all our loyal clients that we've had for a good 30 years, and this year we've had a stellar season of new clients coming to the stable, and I think it's upside from here for the stable too for the next season. So it's looking good, and thank you very much for having me on.
Well said, Nathan.
Well said.
Good on you, mate.
Good on you, Nathan.
Thank you.
Nathan Perry there, son of Paul, trainer of Conchita. Impressive win yesterday in the first at Royal Randwick. 1-1, England v Russia. That is full time in their Euro group stage match. 1-1, England and Russia. 13:53:53 is the open line number. Let's go to callers there on the line. Adrian is there. Hello, Adrian.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Really
morning,
well.
Adrian.
Just a couple of things. David Fisatua, he's going to be a superstar.
Well, there's not much more you need in your winger. Mm. Big, strong, athletic, fast, good hands.
And good looking.
Didn't necessarily need that, but it's a bonus, you're right.
That was what was mentioned last night on the coverage, which I thought was rather funny. But, he's going to be outstanding. Question for you guys. Do you have any faith in Laurie Daly?
I've got absolute faith in Laurie Daly. The only thing is that Laurie's done some things that I wouldn't have done, but that's, you're asking a guy who's played, he knows Origin inside out, and I think Ricky Stewart was the one who said it when he passed on the baton. He played, Ricky Stewart saying, I played State of Origin, this guy owned State of Origin. He's done things that I wouldn't have done, Adrian.
And don't forget, he did coach New South Wales to a series win 2014.
Correct, correct. Where are you going with this, Adrian?
No. Well, the fact that he's done things that you definitely wouldn't have done, for me, and he's done exactly that for me as well, that's why I've got no faith in him, very, very little faith. And also, with his selection, and the fact that first of all, picked Dylan Walker, then was concerned that he wouldn't make an impact, doesn't play him properly by just bringing on 7-8 minutes to go, which is ridiculous, and then comes through with a weakened feeble reason why, you know, to defend the selection. So that's why the other thing is too, is, you know, throwing nothing at Queensland. I mean, Queensland probably turned into the worst performing ever. They're in huge trouble if he doesn't make changes and change his game plan.
Well, I think you're right. I don't know why you're whispering. Must be everyone's still asleep at home. But anyway, it's the first time we've heard Adrian whispering on the phone, isn't it? I agree about Dylan Walker. I was surprised that he was selected in the first place, and then I didn't understand the way he was used.
Won't make Origin 2, Jim.
The mail is that he will.
Extraordinary. Yeah.
But if you do make him, okay, play him at the back end of the first half and make him dangerous then.
Which was the original plan, wasn't it?
Wasn't it?
Bring him on toward the last 10 minutes of the first half.
I know he doesn't have to explain things to you or I, Ray, but that was inexplicable.
Mm.
Anyway, thank you for the call, Adrian. We do appreciate it. Tommy Berry, Rory Hutchings and Andy Pascalides, Zorba as well, next hour.
To simplify private health insurance by creating three health policy categories and setting minimum standards. The government will establish gold, silver and bronze health policy categories if re-elected on July 2 and set minimum standards for the 40,000 private health insurance products on the market. Health Minister Susan Lee says they want to make sure people get value for money.
These reforms are designed to make it really easy to understand, easy to compare across products and give you the information that you need as a consumer about what you're covered for.
Patients will also retain the current private health insurance rebate. Bob Hawke has appeared in his first ad since he was Prime Minister to urge voters to back Labor to protect Medicare. The 32nd ad, airing nationally from today, features Mr. Hawke sitting at a desk warning of a coalition plan to privatise the publicly funded universal healthcare system he introduced in 1983. Mr. Hawke, Australia's third longest serving Prime Minister, then urges voters to back opposition leader Bill Shorten at the election to protect Medicare. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull and opposition leader Bill Shorten are heading north to campaign in Townsville in the Liberal-held seat of Herbert today. Their visit coincides with the 20th anniversary of the 1996 Black Hawk helicopters crash. New polling shows Labor is falling short of the support it needs in key marginal seats to secure a parliamentary majority in its own right. A survey of seven coalition-held seats commissioned by Fairfax Media suggests only one looks like falling to Labor, while another is on a knife edge. Labor would probably need to win, of the marginal seats, six, and have the Nick Xenophon-aligned candidate Rebecca Sharkey elected in Mayo to have a realistic chance of claiming the 21-seat haul needed for a one-seat majority. Queensland hotel and bar owners have less than 3 weeks until new laws are implemented designed to reduce alcohol-fuelled violence. Attorney General Yvette Dath has announced shots and pre-mixed drinks with a high alcohol content will be banned from midnight on July 1. Venues across the state will also be prohibited from selling alcohol of any kind from 2 a.m, although locations in safe night precincts will have an extension until 3 a.m. Strong and powerful surf conditions with waves that could reach 3 metres are expected along the New South Wales coast. With many beaches remaining unpatrolled through winter, Surf Life Saving New South Wales spokesperson Liam Howard told Macquarie it's better to be safe than sorry.
Strongly encourage people to know their limitations and don't underestimate the conditions or overestimate their abilities when they're enjoying the coast, because we do want everyone to enjoy the coast safely.
Overseas, and Islamic State has claimed responsibility for suicide and car bomb blasts that have killed 20 people in a Damascus suburb. The bombs struck a main commercial thoroughfare near Syria's holiest Shiite Muslim shrine. At least 3 other bomb attacks have targeted the same area this year, killing scores of people. Also in news, Queen Elizabeth and her family have marked her official 90th birthday at the Trooping of the Colour Parade in central London. And betting odds on a British vote to exit the European Union have shortened after an opinion poll put the Leave camp 10 points ahead of Remain. The poll suggested 55% of Britons will vote to leave in this month's referendum, compared to 45% who will vote to stay. This is AIR News. Adelaide forward Eddie Betts has booted 5 goals to help lift the Crows to a 29-point AFL win over West Coast Eagles. The Eagles led by 26 points midway through the third quarter, but the Crows booted the final 8 goals of the match to secure the 15-15-105 to 11-10-76 win. Betts was critical throughout the match, while midfielder Rory Sloane finished with 29 disposals and 9 clearances. The Melbourne Storm have continued their golden run with a 46-0 win over the Roosters to make it 7 victories on the trot in 2016. It was a record-breaking night for the Melburnians, with the Storm recording their biggest ever win over the Tricolours, holding them scoreless for the first time. Coach Craig Bellamy told the ABC he was impressed how his side kept the pressure on.
You know, we took full control, and to all of our players' credit, we put the foot down from there. You know, we didn't ease it off. Like I say, it was a really good performance.
Less than 5 months after being crowned Australia's one-day international player of the year, Glenn Maxwell is out of their first-choice 11. Maxwell was dropped for the one-day international tri-series clash with South Africa in St Kitts, with selectors instead banking on George Bailey to shore up the middle order. The off-spinning all-rounder was voted Australia's best one-day player at the Allan Border medal count in January, having scored his maiden one-day international ton during the 2015 World Cup. Also in sport, Philippe Kohlschreiber has beaten Juan Martín Del Potro 6-3, 6-4, and Roger Federer lost to Dominic Thiem 3-6, 7-6, 6-4 in the Stuttgart Cup tennis. Australian Independent Radio News.
Whether you're cruising on autopilot up the autobahn, using autocorrect while you're reading the auto cue, signing your autograph beside the automatic teller machine, the best auto is free auto at Hyundai this end of financial year. Get a free auto upgrade with the i30, Australia's best small car, from just $19,990 drive away. Our Seize the Deal sale won't last, so seize this incredible auto deal today at your local Hyundai dealer.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, partly cloudy, a slight chance of a shower along the coastal fringe. Winds southwesterly 15 to 20 k's. Large and powerful surf conditions in the morning are expected to be hazardous for coastal activities such as rock fishing, swimming and surfing, so be careful. Sydney heading for a top temperature of 18 degrees. Jimmy, what about out at Parramatta and down at Pambula?
Pambula, where's Pambula?
South coast somewhere.
Yeah, well spotted. Parramatta, 18 degrees for Parramatta in Sydney's west today. And in Pambula, mostly sunny today. It's get cold down there. Mm. Three degrees is a minimum, but a maximum of 16 degrees.
Lionel, how are you going with the balloons?
Really good, Mum.
Uh-oh.
Only 10,000 more to do.
How many have you done?
Two.
At PNV, we're having end of financial year celebration sale.
We're reducing prices store-wide.
On the leading brands.
TVs, computers, fridges, washers, dryers, you name it.
Now all we need is the balloons.
Okay, that's three. Okay, maybe two.
You'll find some great deals right now at PNV.
Excludes Asco and Miller.
One of the legends of the sport.
Winks races up to hit the lead. She shot away in the Epsom. It's all over. Ecuador, Sons of John, Messine for the Miners. The Bowman high in the irons gives the big salute.
Thurston to choose from, which coat. He hits it. He's got it. He's got the big goal. He's got the premiership. He has gone from, as I said, a captain to a legend and probably rugby league immortality.
Welcome to the weekend's biggest and best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Big second hour coming up. Tommy Berry shortly won the Queensland Derby. He's knocking off Group 1 wins left, right and centre this season. Rory Hutchings, a treble at Randwick yesterday. He's charging towards the Apprentices Premiership. Andy Pascalides will give us an update with Euro 2016. England v Russia, 1-1 draw, and there's drama after the game too, Jimmy. Crowds from both sides.
So unfortunate, isn't it?
It was drama before the game too, unfortunately,
yes.
So that's no good. The ZNZ quiz is back again this morning. Zorba, compelling and a riveting listening to last week, talking to Zorba. Looking forward to chatting with him, and Tanya will have all the latest scratchings at the top of the hour. So a big second hour coming up, Jim.
Maybe caller Adrian was calling from one of those peep shows in the Cross. Brett from Broadbeach. Oh, hang on. He's a family man, Adrian. Well, but you never know. You never know. That's a good point, Brett. No, we like that. It was fairly provocative of A.W. Pike to train two of the Group 1s at Brisbane ahead of all the other big names. No name on that one, but that is a good point. Hi, guys. Joey Leilua is a must for New South Wales. He's in great form for Canberra and has been playing some great footy and deserves his chance. Keep up the great work. Cheers from Brendan.
That's that right edge of Canberra, Leilu and Rapana.
Yeah.
They're dynamic.
Yeah, lethal, aren't they? To be honest, it probably wasn't his best game on Thursday night, and defensively he can probably get caught out a little bit, and he's going to be up against Greg Inglis, and it's going to be at Suncorp Stadium. But
so are you saying you wouldn't
better to die on your feet than live on your knees, Ray?
Fair enough.
The only problem with that is with me saying that, is that it's easy for me to say, because I actually don't have to go and test it. You know, Laurie Daly's got to think these things and then go, well, now I have to test it at Lang Park. Suncorp Stadium, and see whether it actually works.
I think the key is we've got to score points.
Yes.
So push for Wade Graham. He seems to have got ahead of Bryce Cartwright now.
He probably has, and he's gone ahead of Ryan Hoffman, and he's gone ahead of maybe Greg Bird going to that left side second row position.
Good ball player, Wade Graham. Good ball player. Great opportunities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're going to ask him to play 80 minutes at Origin level, though? It's going to be tough.
He plays pretty much 80 minutes for the Sharks most weeks.
No doubt.
Mm.
80 minutes at Origin levels are different. You know, for a guy coming into his first game, which if you lose it, that's the series.
But would he necessarily start the game? Would he come off the bench being an impact player?
No, you have to start the game.
With Wade Graham?
Yep, absolutely. You couldn't have him off the bench. Because if you pick a player like him, he's got to play 80 minutes.
He couldn't be an impact player after 20?
No.
I don't know about that.
Most unusual if that was a... Well, Dylan Walker's supposed to be the impact player after 20.
But you rotate your forwards a lot more.
Yeah,
so
but,
you
yeah,
bring Wade Graham on.
Yeah, but he's an edge forward, and the edge forwards, you like them to play 80 minutes. And your middle forwards, you'll rotate.
Your better judgment.
We're talking for your bad boys. Bad boys, we've had a few nominations. Here's another one from Adam. This is via Twitter. If you want to send us a tweet, at BigSportsWEND, Paul Haywood. Newtown halfback who got locked up in Bangkok for trying to smuggle heroin.
Saw him play as a kid at Penrith Park.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
So I looked up Paul Haywood. I obviously remember the story, but he could have gone to the 1976 Summer Olympics in Montreal as a boxer. But because he turned professional as a rugby league player, he wasn't allowed to go. And he was the brother-in-law of convicted criminal Nettie Smith. And apparently
Nettie
convinced him to go to Bangkok with Warren Fellows. In October of 1978, and
life
he died. He was sentenced to 30 years in prison, and he contracted HIV whilst in prison. Released in 1989, and died in 1992 at
the age
of about 37.
Yeah, very sad.
Isn't it sad?
But I tell you, one man who's having a tremendous run, and we've held him waiting long enough, Jimmy. He won another derby yesterday, the Queensland Derby on Eagle Way. Tommy Berry's been good enough to join us. Just back from Japan as well. Tom, good morning. Congratulations first with Eagle Way, but more importantly with the news that you're going to become a father for the second time.
Yeah, thanks, Ray. How are you, Jim, as well?
Yeah, really well.
No, it's great news. I obviously knew... before I went to Japan, because it was pretty hard being over there and being back home, but she had a lot of family support from mine and hers back in Canberra as well, which was good.
That's fantastic news. Congratulations, Tom.
Thank you.
That means you've got to go out and earn some dough and pay for all these kids, and that's a pretty good way to start with Eagle Way. And the other good story coming out of this, of course, is for Brian Guy, and that must be satisfying for you as well.
Yeah, no, it is. My father was apprenticed to Ray Guy. He's Brian's father. So,
there you go.
At Rose Hill. So there's a long relationship there that goes back years ago. Dad said Brian was only a young fella when he was apprenticed there to his father. So it's quite ironic then now for me to be able to ride a Group 1 winner for him. And he's been waiting a little while to get this other Group 1. And Eagle Way, he's a lovely stayer. And Brian picked him out a while ago as being a Derby horse. And convinced John to keep him here for a bit longer before he sent him to Hong Kong, and he's going to be off to Hong Kong now, and he'll be in the Derby next year.
Tom, and with your experience in Hong Kong racing, and you've won a Derby over there, is Eagle Way the type of horse who could adapt and be competitive in the Hong Kong Derby?
Yeah, I think he is. Obviously, the Derby over in Hong Kong is only 2,000 metres, not 2,400. So, but he showed a good turn of foot over shorter trips, and I think he's still very green, very new, and I think you saw that yesterday coming around the bend. Reason why I sort of had to get going a bit earlier than I wanted to was when the horse came around me and went to put me in a bit of a pocket, he half-dropped a bit and went to suck back. So he's still not there yet, and he's probably 6 months away. So by the time you get to the Derby in Hong Kong, in a year's time, I think you'll see a lot better horse.
I read the article where you were waxing lyrical about Huey Bowman and what you were able to learn when you were racing together over in Japan. What's the motivation for you, Tom, to do these trips? Is it financial? Is it experience-wise? Why the trips overseas?
Yeah, definitely not financial. I've never been one to ride for money, and there's a lot of money anywhere you ride. That just comes with the job, but it's more just experience and to help myself be a better jockey. And that was the reason for going to Hong Kong, to ride against some of the best jockeys, and it's a lot tighter racing over there, and you've got to make your decisions a lot quicker, and taught me to grow up and grow into myself as a person.
Yeah.
I was only obviously young when I first went to Hong Kong for my first trip, and mainly going to Japan was to build the connections with the Hong Kong owners and trainers to be able to partner their rides when they bring them to Australia for the autumn, mm-hmm. spring. And I was lucky enough to get a ride from them for the Melbourne Cup if everything works out after this trip. So it was definitely a successful trip there.
You got a couple more weekends back there, I think, Tommy?
Yeah, I do. I would have loved to just stay home. Now I am home. It feels like I've been here, there, and everywhere. But it is for Karen Marotic who I'll possibly be riding in the Melbourne Cup,
mm-hmm.
if all goes well, in the Group One over 2200 in a fortnight's time. But over in Japan, you just can't go for one weekend. So there's a quite a good Group Three race on next weekend, so I'll go back for the next 2 weekends, and then I'll have 10 days off with my family. We're going to go away in the caravan for a little bit, and then I'll be straight back into it.
Fantastic. And from what I understand, you've been doing a little bit of reconnaissance for Team Hawks while you're over there with Chautauqua, is that right?
Yeah, no, it is. It saved them the trip over there. I was already there, and they just asked me to have a look at the quarantine and the track at Nakayama and the facilities just for Chautauqua if he possibly goes there. And, you know, it all looks good. The quarantine's nice, and hopefully Japan can see how good Chautauqua is as well.
Do you ring John on a daily basis and just inquire about the horse and its well-being, Tommy, with Chautauqua?
Not so much the horse. He gets brought up in conversation, but I speak to John and I speak to Michael every second day, but John maybe once a week or so to speak about my riding. I've even spoken to him in Japan. He watches racing everywhere, especially when I was in Hong Kong. So John's very good for giving advice. He's a harsh critic, but a fair one. And I really appreciate his advice. So no matter where I am racing in the world, he's always there to give me advice along the way.
Mm. Chautauqua, Tommy, obviously he was massive headlines back home. His win in Hong Kong was as good as you'll see in a sprint race. Mm. What was the impact that he made in Hong Kong and even in Japan?
Yeah, look, in Hong Kong, he was everyone's favourite straight away.
Really?
For a horse to do what he did and come from where he did, I think he just blew everyone away. And the fans over in Hong Kong are so passionate about their racing. And for them to take on as an international horse as one of their own, which they have now, he's very special, and it doesn't happen very often, but they realise what a great horse he is, and for him to do what he did to a top fielder sprinters there was great. And then obviously going back to Japan, and everyone's excited about him, and my interpreter just kept saying to me, everyone kept asking him, is Chautauqua coming? Is Chautauqua coming? They're very excited about hopefully getting him over there.
Wow. Absolutely, yeah. Well, Tom, congratulations on yesterday. So much happening in your life. Good luck with all of the racing, but most importantly, good luck with baby number two.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on the show. It's great to be home.
Good on you, Tom. Thanks so much, Tom.
Yeah, good friend of the program. We do appreciate him coming on. Just on that, Max Dynamite is a $15 favourite for the Melbourne Cup on the market there at tab.com.au. But this is Karen Miritic.
That's it.
Is the $18 chance that Tommy will be riding. Fame Game is Huey Bowman's preferred ride for the Melbourne Cup at $18. And Sign Off is also at $18. That, of course, for the Melbourne Cup in 2016. Great to chat with Tom Berry there. We're going to take a break. We're going to chat with Rory Hutchings after that break.
We're here at the local pie shop where we're trying to catch Graham. Now, Graham, is this part of your training for the Super Rugby season?
Well, there's nowhere more Australian than this. It's the perfect place to get my game plan right.
Smart man, because TAB is offering $1.95 lines on all Australian derby games in this year's Super Rugby Championship. So, when it's Aussie versus Aussie in the Super Rugby, look no further than TAB.
Well, they smell good.
Three pies? Graham, really?
I'm in training.
TAB, more than just winning.
T's and C's apply. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
The man is having an early end of financial year stock clearance. So if you're in the market for a new Mazda, Penrith Mazda has the best selection and prices on all new Mazdas, including VT50s. Come and see the Mazda specialist for a great end of financial year deal. Don't miss out on Penrith Mazda's end of financial year clearance sale. Now on Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. MD18808.
Bad Boys of Rugby League, John Hopewadi. That's from Rob. Sorry, Rob, we should have just mentioned John straight away, shouldn't we, the way that rolls. Gold Edge Syndications are offering shares in a beautifully bred daughter of Nikoni, currently with a strike rate of over 50% winners to runners. Unbelievable. This filly's dam side is littered with 9 Group 1 winners, and her trainer, Gary Portelli, is aiming her at the early 2-year-old races. So for just $3,495 for a 5% share and under $250 fixed fee per month, she can be yours. Visit goldedge.com.au now. Goldedge.com.au now. AFSL 260214. Enjoy the ride with Gold Edge Syndications.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Jimmy, this man rode another treble yesterday.
Oh.
So he comes out of his time tomorrow after the race meeting at Canterbury. Do you think he's got a big enough lead to hold on and win the premiership?
What's the lead at the moment?
15 wins, I think it is. From a...
How long? We've got 7 weeks?
7 weeks,
yeah. Kobe Jennings.
Riding well.
2 wins a week.
You're putting the pressure on
Kobe.
Well,
you just got to break it. Yeah. You just could break it down like that. 2 wins yesterday for him.
Well, let's ask the man himself if he feels safe. Rory Hutchings has been good enough to join us. Rory, good morning. Congratulations on the treble yesterday. And do you think that premiership's in the bag?
Yeah, good morning, guys. I don't know if it's in the bag, but it'll be definitely good when it's over.
Yeah, exactly. We're waiting for July 31.
Yeah. How much is it a goal when you start a year like this, Rory? Do those things become goals, or are these just benefits of doing the hard work during the year?
Yeah, it definitely was a goal at the start of the season. Chris and his team, in the office here, they set it out, and I was very keen to achieve this goal.
Mm. Well, you're almost there, Rory, and your treble yesterday was concluded with a brilliant ride on opinion in the Stayers Cup. 3,200-metre races, Rory, don't see them that often. Are they fun to ride in?
They're pretty hard work. He made it easy, though. He's raced over that trip before, and, he was just switched off the whole way, and... showed a little glimpse of his ability in the finish.
Yeah, and clearly the best performed horse in the race. Has it been a little bit frustrating the way things have gone for opinion and not being able to get the job done for such a long period of time?
Yeah, in a way, I guess it would be for the connections, but, it would have been good for them to see him back in form yesterday.
And El Novio, Rory, you had to earn your keep there. There was a couple of horses, you gave him a peach of a ride until about the 700, and a couple of horses started to get pretty tired, and you had to get going on El Novio, probably a fraction earlier than you wanted to, but that was a circumstance of the race. It was a tough win, wasn't it?
Yeah, very tough win. He's a very dour horse, and he was dropping back in distance, so he was never going to quicken a lot. I always had it in the back of my mind to take off as early as I did, and the way the race was run, it unfolded in front of me, and I was surprised that a couple came with me when I did go, and it definitely made for a good fight the whole way.
Mm.
Three Sheets was your other winner. This horse has just been so well performed and probably too classy for its rivals in this one. Rory, did you have full confidence in this horse?
Yeah, I was a little bit questionable how he'd run fresh up in the heavy ground, but he was very good. He was ready on the day, and he put his rivals away, you know, very well in the end.
Mm. Rory, I know you're riding at Hawkesbury today, but a double barrel question here. Last day as an apprentice tomorrow at Canterbury, you've got five pretty good rides. Is there one that stands out of those five? And then post Monday, what will Rory Hutchings do as a senior jockey? Stay at Rose Hill, stay with Chris Waller?
Yeah, five rides tomorrow, and actually had a good look and worried about today first.
That's fair enough, yeah.
After tomorrow, we'll try and still do as much work as I can for Chris, you know, try and keep him the camp there and keep him happy, but started a little bit of, you know, outside track work and then just try and get those outside rides. It's quite hard to get. Just try and build a little bit of base around some Ramwick trainers or something like that.
Mm. It sounds like you're in the office already. Is that right, Rory?
No, not yet.
No? Oh, I thought you said it earlier. I was going to say, what did you weigh in today? Because that's a daily ritual, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Not quite on a Sunday, but every other day.
Oh, Mr. Waller cuts you a bit of leniency on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So what did you have last night for dinner?
Last night, not a lot really, because riding today.
Wow, Spartan lifestyle. Yeah. But the beauty of it is, Rory, the success is coming with the hard work and the sacrifice. Yeah, so congratulations on that. It'll be a thrilling finish to the Apprentice Premiership, and all the best for that for you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Rory Hutchings there leads by, what did you say, 15?
I think you prefer to be in Rory's position than anybody else's. So you think he's just about
runs
there.
On the board, Ray. Yeah. Like the Australians. Yeah. Runs on the board. None for nine, South Africa, in a chase of that 289 that they need for victory. Quinton de Kock is 8, and Hashim Amla is not out. Hazelwood bowling after Mitchell Stark bowled that first over. 13 53 53 is the open line number. Lots of email, SMS have been coming in to Jimmy. Can you imagine TK's ego this week after declaring Sacred Elixir immoral? He did. I've got to be honest, he did declare that on Friday immoral. Your Roosters only let you down by 40 points from getting your try bet. Regards, Eagle-Eyed Phil. Thanks, Phil, for pointing that out. Yeah, they did.
Here's
they
a
let
good,
me down.
Good one from John from Moorbank. Jimmy and Ray, the baby-faced assassin. Brendan Tutor was a bad boy of rugby league in the 90s, especially when he pulled on that Kiwi jersey. Did you play against Brendan Tutor, Jim?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
But
he's in your era, right?
Yeah. He's a bit older than me.
He wasn't a big guy.
No.
Played way above his weight and just smashed guys.
Played for Western Suburbs.
He did.
Played for the Magpies. Yeah. Played for Western Suburbs. And when he put on that black and white jersey, he was pretty mad. When he pulled on the black and white jersey of the Kiwis, he was genuinely mad.
And here's one from Manly Man Owl. Morning, boys. I might be a bit biased, but if you want a bad boy, as I call him, one Terry Lamb. I never forgave him for the cheap high shot on Matthew Ridge in the grand final.
What cheap high shot in the grand final? 1995 grand final.
That can be the only one, couldn't it?
Yeah. Now, if you're mentioning Ellery Hanley,
that's a bit different.
And I tell you what, you're being a bit harsh if you're calling Terry Lamb a bad boy of rugby league.
Gee. One of the nice guys, Terry Lamb, isn't he? So.
Anyway, Manly Man Al, settle down. 1353 53, the open line number. Let's go to John, who's on the line, wants to have a chat. G'day, John.
Yeah, good morning, Ray and Jimmy. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, John. Well, mate.
Ray, I've just got to pick you up. Today's game between Penrith and Manly is a very important game for Penrith. Well, it's a very important game for Manly.
Of course.
Manly fans do travel. I'm in Newcastle. Me and my mate will be down there today.
Good on you, mate. That's the way.
Down to support the Mighty Seagulls. And just on BJ Alou, a lot has been said about him. I still think he's a loose cannon. Like, even though this year's a breakout year for him, no denying he's been outstanding. But there's still a loose canning brain explosion in the bloke. He needs to put together a couple of years. It's like a breakout year season for him. So I wouldn't be going for him under the cauldron at Lang Park. He'll just lose it 100%.
That's Jimmy's thinking, John. Yeah. That's Jimmy's thinking, John.
You're probably right, John. If you really stress test something from a rugby league player point of view, then it's put them in a game that's deciding an Origin series for New South Wales at Suncorp Stadium, and it doesn't get much tougher than that.
Well, he was up there on the other night, and he I think a head slam down, which got him a penalty. Then they kicked the touch, and they scored off it. And look, he's playing well. Keep it up, and probably next year he needs he's always had that ability, but even at the Roosters, the Knights, he can do it. But he's got to put it together. But New South Wales, and this is I'll finish up on this. Jack Gibson used to pick the best 13. He used to say 17, and find a position on. We can't try and beat Queensland with big monsters and all that. We've got to beat them at their own game at skill.
Agreed.
The likes of Tedesco, Graham, Cartwright, Bird, Peachy. Have a go at beating them with skill, because if you play in NRL, everyone can tackle. You don't have to be 8 foot tall. And the modern game doesn't allow you to intimidate anymore, you know? Like, you've got to try and beat Queensland with skill.
Yeah, good call, John. Stay on the line, John. We'll send out Ultimate America, 4 CDs of the greatest music from the US of A. So,
I'm convinced after watching Friday night. You know, I love Matt Moylan. I'm a massive Matt Moylan fan. But James Tedesco has to be the fullback for New South Wales.
Yeah, that's a good point. Could New South Wales play Graham and Cartwright in the 17?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Just try and score points.
Absolutely.
That's
the thing. If you pick a Cartwright, you don't need a Leilua.
You move Cartwright.
You don't have to go the whole throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Exactly.
You can stick with Josh Morris. I would stick with Josh Morris if you put in a Bryce Cartwright.
He kept Inglis pretty quiet again in Origin 1, as he does most times.
Yeah.
And he's a good fall for Inglis, and he played his role. And as you said, if a Cartwright's on the bench, he can come on, play in the back line, play in the forwards, be that creative option as well as Wade Graham.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. 13:53:53, we'll take your thoughts on that. Give us a call. We've got Andy Pascalides coming up next. Right now, we've got our first question from the Event Cinema Quiz.
Barriers, Jim, 7:30.
This is courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta. The first question is, what great news has befallen the Berry family, Tommy and Shani? What great news has befallen the Berry family? First of 3 questions, so don't call now on that one. Andy Pascalides up next.
Hi, it's Andrew Bensley from Racing HQ. I hope you're enjoying your long weekend and backing plenty of winners. Next week, Racing HQ will have the latest on Royal Ascot in England and Godolphin's attempt to win the Diamond Jubilee with 3-year-old Holler. Also, don't forget Punter's Postmortem is on Tuesday this week and Dean Lester is back. Stay with your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio. Always a winner.
You can like your milk fat-free, your bread gluten-free, your drinks sugar-free, or your life care-free. It's a free country after all, and the best things in life are free. At Hyundai, this end of financial year, get free CTP, stamp duty, and 12 months free rego with a 7-seat Santa Fe SUV. Not to mention 5 years free scheduled servicing. Our Seize the Deal sale won't last, so seize these incredible free offers at your local Hyundai dealer.
I don't think befallen was the right word, was it? No. So is it, what great occurrence
have we announced to
the Berry family? Yeah. So anyway, just clear that up. That was wrong of me. ZNZ Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, they've been the source of official NRL watches and rings. ZNZ were the original designers and makers of grand final rings for 17 years. So, if you want the official watch of your team, or if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction, if you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, or if you want jewellery remodelled or repaired, do what the NRL does. See Alan. Good man, Al. At ZNZ, Westfield Hurstville, or visit znz.com.au. That's ZEDNZED.com.au. They are the proud sponsors of the Parramatta Eels and the St. George Junior Referees.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
And Jimmy, Euro 2016 up and running. England 1, Russia 1 this morning. Earlier Wales 2, Slovakia 1. And our good friend Andy Pasley has been good enough to join us. Would have watched both games, I'm sure. Andy, good morning. And firstly, what did you make of England v Russia?
Look, England should have beaten a somewhat pedestrian Russia. They suffered that equaliser in the 92nd minute. Eric Dyer giving them the lead with a wonderful free kick in the 73rd. But they'll be looking at that as a loss after Wales had beaten Slovakia 2-1 earlier. Gareth Bale set them on the path to victory before the winner came with 9 minutes to go. And Group A game last night, 11 o'clock kickoff, Albania against Switzerland. A 10-man Albania did well. They only lost 1-0. That was a game I thought Switzerland would score a couple of goals in. Their winner came in the 5th minute. And, of course, France opened the tournament with a 2-1 win against Romania. And Payet scored the wonder goal so far in the 89th. He was one of my long shots for top scorer in the tournament. But what saddens me this morning, guys, is I'm just watching it as closely as I can through social media and whatnot. There's a lot of problems.
Yeah.
There was at the end of the game.
And there was problems pre-game, Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And that's where an English fan's fighting for his life. But now we've got... And you guys will be all over it this morning, but there's just at the end of the game, you saw rushing in, you know, right across, and there was a couple of flares, but that's what's happening outside that ground right now in Marseille. That's going to be the biggest concern for the locals.
So when you look at the people who turn up to these games, it's not mum and dad with the kids. It couldn't be. If you went once and you saw that, you'd say, well, unfortunately, I can't go again.
You wouldn't take your kids.
Let's put things in a comparison to here and to overseas. Last week, when I was in Melbourne during the week, front page, you know, 3, 4, 5, whatever it was, flares. Okay, we hate flares. We're not fans of flares. That wasn't fans engaging in basically. This is a typical scenario at these sorts of tournaments where the ultra fans, they're not really football fans. They're just thugs.
Yeah.
And they use football as a scapegoat. Not just football, there's basketball, there's other key sports in Europe that these fans, well, so-called fans, turn up for. And, you know, it doesn't matter how many police, how many army, whatever you have, you still cannot control it because they are so organised now. Mm. And it reminds me of the old days of English football with that sort of rivalry where the hooligans would turn up at designated spots. That hardly anyone knew except those hooligans from both teams.
Mm. And they were so well organised.
Military precision. And you know why I say that? Because some of these guys are ex-military anyway.
Right. Mm.
So what's the answer, Andy, if any?
That's the difficult one. Mm. Right? That really is a difficult one because this is a scenario that just doesn't go away.
Mm.
And as much as France would try, this was always the fear when England and Russia were drawn together. There's rivalry, there's history, and they were hoping this first game would get through without any dramas, and sadly that's not the case. And I'm looking at pictures as I speak to you now on the internet. It's horrendous what I'm seeing. Horrendous. Mm. I feel like I'm in a war zone when you look at some of these photos.
No, it's doesn't encourage anyone to get to the games. All right, I know you had them on Friday, but for our listeners today, just run through those headline ones you were going through as your winner, your top goal scorer, your player of the tournament, Andy.
Yeah, basically winner, Germany. I'll still go with Germany. They're in action tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. 1:55 against the Ukraine. 4:10, 6:25 the draw. The win for Ukraine. My long shots were Croatia and Payet as top scorer, along with possibly Iceland. Most goals, Thomas Müller, and player of the tournament, Iniesta of Spain. Although he'd be having some little words into the ear of one David De Gea.
What's happened here, Andy? What's this all about?
Well, this goes back to 2012 when they were under 21 international players. That you know, he's had to deny a claim in the Spanish paper in the last 24 hours that he organised a sex party with prostitutes for teammates, and that a woman who has not been named has basically said in court papers that she was made to take part against her will. She's a protected witness. She's saying that she was forced into a prostitution ring in Madrid and introduced to another girl and two footballers, and one of those footballers being David De Gea.
Not the right preparation when you're in camp for Euro 2016 before your first game.
Yes, and that's one thing from the footballer's point of view, and we also have to be aware of those people who are victims.
Absolutely.
So,
that's right.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes.
And that'll be ongoing, as we know.
Yeah, and we'll wait the outcome of that one. Lionel Messi.
Yeah, does it again.
I was just going to say, did you see his hat-trick yesterday?
What did he do? He did it in 20 minutes or something, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Look, he came on against Panama, and look, at the time, the score was 1-0. And this, mind you, two teams that have won their opening games, and Messi made sure that in the 68th, 78th and 87th before another guy by the name of Sergio Aguero put the icing on the cake.
Oh, yeah.
What it does, it puts Argentina in the box position in Group D. They're on 6 points. Chile and Panama are 3 points, and Bolivia's tournament is somewhat ended. Today, there's games out of Group A, where Colombia will play Costa Rica later this morning, $1.57 favoured, and USA against Paraguay, USA favoured as well. I expect those two teams who top the group, Colombia on 6 and USA on 3, to go through. So while there's a lot of interest on Euro 2016, those that follow the South American football, although it's being staged in the United States,
yeah,
there's been some good games in the copper. There's been some great games. Talking of games, guys, Tim Cahill's side lost last night. Hangzhou Greentown.
Yep.
They lost against Guangzhou RNF, and Guangzhou RNF, the visiting team, had 10 men from the 21st minute, yet they still prevailed. And Tim's team are amongst four teams at the bottom of that Chinese Super League on 9 points, two wins only in 12 starts.
Yeah.
He played a full shift too.
Yeah. All right.
But where does he go? That's the question. Which club can afford him? There's only one.
Only one. Only one. That's Melbourne City. So, and
what happens over Fornaroli? Because Fornaroli has to be a marquee, with all due respect to Tim, but I don't know. They've got this new rule in the A-League that can get around that, and it's all about the money now, what the Arab owners want to do. $2.5 million is a mooted deal at the moment, but that's all a third-party agreement after it as well.
Yeah. Euro continuing. We'll be kept up to date with that next week, and I know you'll do it through the Big Sports Breakfast during the week as well. Good on you, Andy. Have a great day.
Yep. Have a great day, guys. Big one tonight. Turkey, Croatia.
All right, Andy. Look forward to that. Andy Pascalese with all the latest from football there. Time for a break, but time to call. If you want to be a part of the Z&Z quiz, just a little score update, Raymond.
Is it 13-9?
No, it's 13-10.
Oh, 13-10.
Yeah, 13-10.
Nipping at your heels.
So there you go. If you want to be a part to win for yourself, a watch in the team colours of your choice, courtesy of Z&Z. Call now, 13-53-53.
You just slammed home the glory play of the NBA Finals. How do you feel?
Unbelievable, mate, but what an assist.
Tab have just set up the ultimate NBA Finals play. Are you ready to take advantage?
Yeah.
Well, that's great, because right now we've got some great offers available on every single game in the NBA Finals. Lay up now on the NBA Finals series with Tab's great odds and offers.
Get on now at your local Tab, tab.com.au, or on the Tab app. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
Whether you're building or renovating, before you decide on your choice of windows or doors, take a closer look
at Wideline's brand new website, where you'll find our UBeaut online quoting app.
Just upload your plans or tell us what you require and receive your free quote within 48 hours.
Even if it's only a few windows you need, we're here to help. No problems.
Wideline's quoting app is open 24 hours. You can even save your new quotes or edit old ones.
Time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors.
Jimmy, just watching Mitchell Stark. Gee, he'd be awkward to bat against, wouldn't he?
Good shape.
Yeah, so high from delivery stride. Quick. Hey, Jimmy, Penrith Mazda is having an early end of financial year stock clearance. So, if you're in the market for a new Mazda, Penrith Mazda has the best selection and best prices on all new Mazdas, including Jimmy's favourite, the BT50s.
Love the BT50s.
You do. We all know the BT50 range gives you more grunt, more torque and more comfort. So, come and see the Mazda specialist for a great end of financial year deal. Don't miss out on Penrith Mazda's end of financial year clearance sale now on. See the team at Penrith Mazda on Mulgoa Road, Penrith today.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Welcome back to the program. Time now for the ZNZ quiz. Who's up first, Raymond?
You can open the batting.
I'll open the batting. I'll go with Brian. Contestant one there from Belmore. G'day, Brian.
How you going, Jimmy?
Yeah, really well, mate. I'm looking forward to you doing well in this quiz.
Right.
Question one. Who won last year's Stradbroke Handicap? Was it Midsummer Music, River Lad, or Sri Candy?
River Lad?
Sri Candy. No worries, Brian. Let's get to round two. Question two. How many rounds did Muhammad Ali Joe Frazier Thriller in Manila fight go for in 1975? Was it 12, 13, or 14?
12.
We need to get on the scoreboard here. Third question,
it was
Brian.
14. Yeah,
oh, sorry, 14.
Joe
yeah.
Frazier wouldn't come out for round 15.
Yeah. Mm. Who currently leads the NRL missed tackles list? Is it Ben Hunt, James Maloney, or Luke Brooks?
Luke Brooks.
Yes.
Oh, well done, Luke.
Well done, Brian. Luke Brooks on 58 missed tackles. 58 missed tackles. All right. One from three. Over to you, Raymond.
Okay. I think Neil's there. Neil, good morning.
How you doing, Ray?
Yeah, terrific, Neil. Hey, Neil. Good news is one to tie, two to win. So best of luck, Neil.
Cheers.
Okay. Question number one. Who rode Srikandy to win last year's Stradbroke Handicap? Was it Kieran McAvoy, Hugh Bowman, or James McDonald?
I think it was Kieran McAvoy.
Solid start. Well done, Neil.
He's a bit late, Hamish, on that. Panel operator, get on the...
Neil, question number two. How many rounds did the Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, Rumble in the Jungle fight go for in 1974? Was it 7, 8, or 9 rounds?
I reckon it was 9, maybe.
Yeah, 8 rounds. Ali knocked out Foreman in the 8th, that one. Okay, this is for the game. Neil, best of luck. What NRL player has made the most hit-ups after the first 13 rounds of the season? Is it Corey Parker, James Graham, or Jason Taumalolo?
I'll go Corey Parker.
James Graham with 238. He's a machine, isn't he?
Oh, I knew this was going to be the case. All right, Neil, you're up first.
Even a tiebreak question now, Neil. You're still in the hunt here.
Yeah, cool.
Neil, the tiebreak question is, what is the current world golf ranking for Tiger Woods?
Oh, gee. 500.
500, all right.
Fair enough, yeah.
Stay on the line there, Neil. Yeah. Brian, you with us?
Yeah.
What is the current world golf ranking for Tiger Woods?
460.
Oh, Neil,
you've clinched it. He's currently, Neil, 559. How the mighty fall, hey?
Oh, wow.
Hey, Neil, what's your team?
The Knights.
Oh, okay. Well, Jimmy was up there.
Neil.
No, you can't do that.
We'll send you out 3 watches, seriously.
There's always hope, Neil, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, stick solid.
Good on you, Neil. Stay on the line, mate, and we'll get your details. And congratulations. We'll get that watch out to you straight away. Give me a score check.
She's just getting close, isn't it?
13, 11.
Raymond, 11.
A fight back.
I'm on 13.
Started.
There is a fight back. Well, I'll tell you what, last week he set the cat amongst the pigeons. Well, he didn't. He actually made a very vocal and strident defence of his club. Mm. I read with interest during the week, I think it might have even been your suggestion, Ray, to get Ray Murray involved, because that immediately would give you confidence. But it's great to say good morning again to Peter Peters. Morning, Zorb.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy. How's it going, boys?
Terrific, Pete.
Really good. How's it going for you? Incredible week. You're quoted everywhere on the Monday morning after, as I mentioned, the passionate defence you've made. And as I said, the fact that Ray Murray gets involved is a positive for the club. I just wonder what support you've had from the NRL on this.
Well, that's an interesting question, Jim. And I can say that, yeah, we're delighted that Ray is going to be with us through this this battle we've got. And I spoke about it last week, and we need somebody of his ilk that knows where to look and what to look for. And I think it's a masterstroke by the club. I'm surprised the NRL haven't got him doing something in their capacity.
Yes.
You ask me, what have we heard from the NRL? Well, we're doing all we can. No word in 10 days.
Mm.
Since the hand grenade was thrown in our bunker, no word from the police or the NRL. Is this part two of the biggest story to hit sport? The Asada farce?
Mm.
Maybe it is.
Well, I tell you what, Pete, with someone like Ray Murray and his expertise on the case, you'll find out a lot quicker now if there is any betting trails that are suspicious. That's the key. With the police handling it, no knock of the police, they take a lot longer to get to the bottom of this issue. But with Ray Murray, when does he start looking into this for you, Pete?
I'm not sure. He's dealt with our chairman, Scott Penn, and I'm not sure. I hope it's soon. We're just getting on with the job now. I've been ringing you a lot because you understand betting. Our game of rugby league and the people in it, NRL Central, have no idea of the ramifications. Well, they know what the ramifications are, but they don't know, you know, where to look for this sort of thing. I've always been a punter all my life. My dad was, and I understand it. But I just want to throw something at you, and I haven't seen a line on it.
Mm-hmm.
Last weekend, to all intents and purposes, Cooper Cronk and Cameron Smith weren't going to play for the Melbourne Storm. Now, what price would they be in a game with them in or them out? It would be a massive fluctuation. Yet I haven't read one line. I haven't heard of one thing about it, and yet it could have been the most important story of the week. Imagine knowing that they were going to play well before kickoff in that game. They both wore jumpers in their high 20s, so they were originally obviously not going to play, but the fact they did, how would you like to have some inside knowledge on that?
It's a very good point you make. I was talking to Matt Russell from Fox Sports as we drove up to the game yesterday, and if you do something like that, if you take the money from betting organisations, which the NRL is well within its right to do, and they get a licence fee because people set up markets based on the competition that they administer, then there needs to be tighter controls around when teams are announced.
Absolutely.
What players are going to play, and the communication of that to the media, which is the Pandora's box that you're talking about there with the Melbourne Storm.
I just think it was incredible that it happened. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. I mean, why wouldn't you have those two great players play? And they've both obviously put their hand up. I understand Cooper Cronk said, I'm all right. Why aren't I playing? And so they did. And talking about the Storm, what about Craig Bellamy? I mean, how does he do it? They put 46 points on the Roosters last night.
He's a master.
And the two centres, Ryan Morgan and Chase Blair, cast off some Parramatta. Incredible. Unwanted elsewhere, and now forming the most unlikely centre combination in the NRL.
I saw Andrew Johns the other day, Pete, actually name his top five coaches in his time in the game, and his number one coach is Craig Bellamy.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, you can't argue with that. His record is unbelievable. Former lower grade player from the Canberra Raiders, mainly. I mean, he did play first grade, but
played a lot of first
not
grade.
For any great length of time.
No, he played a lot of first grade, but he was just overshadowed by great players. But, yeah, he stands out in what he's able to do week to week. If you're looking at one side of the equation there for the Storm, they're flying. What about the other side? I thought that would be a close game last night, Zorba. I don't know what's happened to the Roosters. You got any insight?
No, I haven't. But, I mean, you can only be up for so long, and it's probably indicative that both the great teams of the last probably, well, two, along with Melbourne, the Roosters have been minor premiers three times and premiers in 2013, so they've slipped very quickly. I think the day that they let James Maloney go was the day that they were going to get on the slippery dip. They've had a lot of injuries too, but you can't have any excuses for that.
Another team on the slippery dip too, Sorb, is South Sydney, but what a breath of fresh air the Tigers were on Friday night. They were fantastic to watch.
They were, and full marks to Jason Taylor. He doesn't get many raps. I think he's doing a terrific job under intense pressure. Brooks, Moses and Tedesco
they are
now
super.
Are the stars of the team, and the team, pardon me, beats to their drum. Robbie Farah is now a co-star, and he has to fit in, which he's doing. I think it's exciting to watch.
Yeah.
If Moses had kicked even 60%, the score would have been a major embarrassment for South. I mean, it would have been in the high 40s last Friday night, and we haven't seen a job done on them like that. They are slipping as well, particularly now with an injury to Sam Burgess, but there's just no spark in their side.
No, there's no threat. There's no threat. And now we've got a bad boy of rugby league, Zorb, Nathan Brown. He did get charged. I thought that was a little strange that he gets charged for that and doesn't get charged for the stomp. Stomping. But anyway, that's the MRC at the moment. Bad boys of rugby league, you would have seen a few in your time. Any spring to mind?
Oh, Les Boyd was one. I mean, Boydie was the nicest bloke off the field that you could get, but put him on... put a jumper on him and you might as well light a cracker. He and Johnny Sattler were two very similar players. I remember I played front row against South Sydney at the cricket ground and we were trying to establish ourselves as a pack that wouldn't be walked over. And I remember Ron Willey, our coach, and Ken Upson said to me before the game, listen, every time Sattler does something to you, put one on his chin and we'll cop it. We don't care. We've got to stand up for ourselves. Well, by halftime, Kevin Longbottom had kicked six goals and I got six penalties against him. And I walked into the dressing room and I thought, well, I'm not even going to go out for the second half. And I got pats on the back and that well, I didn't hurt Sats, of course. He just laughed at me.
What about the 73 grand final, Saul? Well, obviously one of the toughest ever. And, gee, there was some tough Englishmen.
Cliffy Watson.
Your man, Mal, really. Gee, some tough players there.
Yeah, well, you could hear the bones breaking that day. Oh. It can't go on this today, but it was on for young and old, and it went on for more than one half of football. It was just mayhem. I'm not proud of what I did that day, but you do what you've got to do to win. I shudder a bit when I think of the things that went on in that game.
Different eras, all.
Yeah. Hey, Zorb, loyalty is a strength and a weakness. Is it going to prove to be a strength for Laurie Daly or a weakness?
Well, I think right now he needs to make a stand. I think that game tomorrow night between the Cowboys and the Sharks will decide whether or not Wade Graham goes in. The drums are beating Wade Graham. I think he's in, but I think he needs to have a good game up there. I can't wait for that. That's a genuine blockbuster in Townsville. Home advantage gives the Cows a bit of an advantage.
It's the other way. Sorry, mate. It's Sharks' home game.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
That is too.
Southern Cross Group.
Yeah, I think the Sharks at home are an outstanding side, but I just get the feeling that the Cowboys just might have their edge. I think probably they've won a couple of games they shouldn't have, the Sharks.
All right, Zorb, today, this is a big game for your club and for Penrith, Eagles v Panthers.
Hallelujah. It's taken 13 rounds for the NRL to give us a Sunday game at Brookie. Like all clubs, we put in our preferences well before the season starts. Ours is Sunday arvo at Brookie. Should we say thanks or better late than never? Family fun day, back to the leagueies after the game. Should be a terrific game at Brookvale today. If that doesn't spur the boys on, nothing will. It should be a cracker. They're hurting like we are with injury. Gee, a couple of surprises with the players they've dropped, Seguiaro
and Soward,
the halfback,
Jamie Soward.
I can't believe that he's not playing in this game. I still think he's got a lot to offer. We're happy he's not playing, but who knows what they're going to come up with today with Bryce Cartwright in the halves.
You got a zapper for us?
I have got a zapper. I'm going to go Dogs and Cowboys.
Dogs and Cowboys at the line?
At the line, yeah.
Okay. That's Dogs minus 7.5. That's tomorrow as well. That's $1.80. So a bit of money around for that minus 7.5. Into North Queensland, they're at minus 1.5. This market's flipped around a little bit. $2.10 minus 1.5, $2.10 for North Queensland. Hey, great cartoon in the paper today, Zorb. You look fantastic.
Nice mow on that. Go Zorba.
Did you get on?
Oh, it's a long story. No, I was busy, and a mate of mine rang me 5 minutes before the race, and I was nowhere near a tab at that stage, and I don't have an account, so I couldn't. Oh, by the way, Paris 2 points from last night's win may not mean a thing. Don't be surprised if they join the 12 that are going to be taken away by the NRL prior to the... Well, that was announced ages ago. Probably the Gang of Five taking legal action against the NRL. Those 2 points won't go anywhere.
No, I wouldn't be surprised at that at all. Good on you, Zorb.
Okay, boys.
Thanks, good luck today. Down there at Brookie Oval, big game, Manly up against Penrith. So if you're in the area, get out there and have a bit of a look. Time now to say good morning for the first time to Tanya with the scratchings all around New South Wales. Morning, Tan.
Howdy. Howdy, Jimmy. Howdy, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today at Hawkesbury and the Sapphire Coast. Starting with Hawkesbury, where the weather is fine. The track a soft 6, rail true. Penetrometer 5.1, 5 and 21 scratchings. Out of the first, take 4, Divergence. Number 4 from the first. Race 2, number 1, Sonorous. 2, His Lordship. 4, In Mum's Memory. And 6, Manhattan Moon. 1, 2, 4 and 6. Race 3, number 7, Giant's Daughter. And 10, Rules Girl. 7 and 10 from the third. The fourth is Clear. To race 5, take out 3, Excited Prince. 7, Vanderkemp. And 9, Red Viking. 3, 7 and 9. To race 6, number 1, Wild and Proud. Take out 1 from race 6. Race 7, number 1, Able Chap. 2, Belridge. 7, Cinemore. 14, Your Place or Mine. 17, Gone with the Wind. And 18, Oh Behave. 1, 2, 7, 14, 17 and 18. And race 8, take out 3, Little Red Shoes. 8, Another Snappy. 17, Spursonic. And 18, Like a Comet. 3, 8, 17 and 18 from race 8 at Hawkesbury. Sapphire Coast, weather fine, track heavy 8, rail true, penetrometer 4.75 and 13 scratchings. The first, take out 3, trying, and 11, honour your offer. 3 and 11 from the first. Race 2, number 10, Midnight Obsession, and 11, Secret Slave. 10 and 11 from race 2. Out of the third, number 5, Aaron's Tsar, and 9, Moon Phase. 5 and 9 from the third. Race 4, take out 5, She's Tsar, and 10, Leper Brenner. 5 and 10 from race 4. Out of the fifth, number 5, Cumberland Range, and 9, Lunch at Tiffany's. 5 and 9 from race 5. Race 6, take out 11, Premier's Gift. 11 from race 6. Race 7, take out 1, Axion, and 11, Chiquinta. 1 and 11 from race 7 at Sapphire Coast.
And a couple of tips today, 10 at Hawkesbury, race 6, number 3, In a Jiffy, very hard to beat today. And at the Sapphire Coast,